get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man. Yeah. Moving, doing it, you know. Yeah. Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And the home of the stars is now back in the forefront again, bringing you Mountain of Blackenite. And out of the Blackenite, he drew the strength that comes out and makes this mountain that's been in from hundreds of millions of years.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knew where it was. They only knew where the white mountain was, where Kryptonite came, right. Where the white Superman came.
Right, right.
All right, now we were digging in the arms of Africa, back into the mountain, the Kilimanjaro's, and then there it was, the Blackenite Mountain.
I love the blackness of it.
How much more black could this be? And the answer is none.
Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Well, hell, sign me up for that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Like I only think about smoking pot constantly.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Should I buy some?
Roll another one.
I heard he smokes plants.
Just like the other one.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
This one seems to be about to quit.
What a great pot party.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine. It's
just there's so many poorly chosen words in that sentence.
Roll another one.
Marijuana is bad. Okay.
Just like the other one.
You want to get high?
No.
This one seems to be about to end.
Marijuana.
High tonight,
though.
I'm gonna get very high tonight.
But don't bogart that joint.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
Just pass it around.
I am so big.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
You got any weed?
I just pass it on down.
And now,
drugs ruin lives, people. Drugs destroy careers. Take Cheech and Chong. Everybody knows that Cheech and Chong are funny, but just imagine how funny they would be if they didn't smoke pot.
Our feature presentation.
1, 2, let me see the tootsie roll. Come on, the tootsie roll. That's like a tootsie roll. Tootsie roll.
Sing it if you know it.
Tootsie roll to the left, to the left, to the left, to the left, to the right, to the right, to the right, to the right. Now front. Front,
front, front,
to the left, to the left, to the left, to the left.
Thank you, Duane.
To the back, oh. To the back, to the back, to the back. Dedicated to all you guys who go to L.A. Train Tech and UCLA. And when I see you at L.A. Train Tech, all of you guys, I will sign some autographs from you guys. All right? Recognize me. Peace out.
God, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Let's start a file on the greatest moments of 2009 and put that in at number one for right now.
All right.
I agree.
One thing we've never done is a countdown retrospective at the end of the year of all the great things. And we were just talking about, well, Kevin had a moment that we're not allowed to talk about on the air last year that could have been one of the greatest moments.
Oh.
And then there was the Armenian comedian N-word incident, which is another of the greatest moments. We should keep track of stuff like that.
That's a good idea.
Yep, absolutely. So.
Duane's got to be. He's got to be in the first week of 2009. Clearly, he's the leader.
Oh, no question. He'll be the leader for most of the year, if not the end.
Yeah, he will. And the only one likely to top him is Duane himself.
That's
because
true.
He's got that many skills.
What's happening, everybody? It's the Kevin Beach Show. It's Friday. It's the 9th of January.
Giant female genitals. So that's nice for everybody.
Yeah, we are going to take your calls for Kevin and Bean's Friday morning edition of What It Do Nephew. 1-800-520-1067 is the question. Kevin, how about those Kings?
How about those Kings? 4-3.
What's that deal?
That deal is that they're a good young team that's young and really
but
young.
We had Jiggy on yesterday, goalie for the Ducks, who I thought I remember told us wasn't playing, and then he started the game last night and ended up getting pulled after he gave up two.
Yeah, they pulled him.
He's having a rough patch right now, which I feel terrible for.
I don't know.
Him,
it's a weird momentum is a weird thing in sports.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's going to the All-Star game and yet got pulled from the game last night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really strange.
That's not going to make him feel very good.
No.
No. And I felt bad yesterday. He even mentioned, I'm not having the greatest season.
Yeah.
Did you watch the game last night, Kevin?
I watched most of it, yeah.
Did you see Bobby Ryan's hat trick?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. He's a rookie for the Ducks, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Scored 3 goals in 2 minutes and 21 seconds, which is like practice.
Wow. He was last, I think it was November, he was in the minors.
Oh, my.
I mean, like, they just called him up, and he just destroyed.
Wow.
And if you don't follow hockey, 3 goals is a pretty good showing for a whole game.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's an amazing showing for one player in a whole game, but it happens very rarely. But for a whole team, if you get 3, you got a good chance of winning in hockey. This dude did it in 2 minutes and 21 seconds. It was unbelievable.
Fortunately for the Kings, they were up 3-0 at that point, so that only tied it, and then they scored again. But
wow.
What are you going to do, man? Every once in a while, you win a good one.
I just don't want to hear the words Kevin and Bean and curse in the same sentence. That's all I'm requesting from our listeners here this morning.
Yeah, I think you're asking for too much.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
I am sans paperwork here this morning. They did not deem me important enough to send it to, but I believe we're still giving away tickets to that Kings tailgate party, which is going to be tomorrow night. Is that still the prize for this morning?
Yep. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, New Jersey Devils, along with passes to join Kings legend Marty McSorley and K-Rock Psycho Mike.
How about that?
Wow. That's too much.
At the LA Kings tailgate party, they got a band. They got a band playing. They got food specials and stuff.
No,
and,
I'm serious. That's too much.
That is too much.
I don't think Mike should go. It's just too much.
and Marty McSorley, it's going to be sad for him to see everybody flocking around Mike for autographs and pictures, and he's going to be all ignored in the corner.
So. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to ignore Marty McSorley. They would do so at their own peril.
It's only a matter of time before he punches me.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Tom in Montebello? He's on line 2, probably calling about the big story of the morning, certainly for folks who live east of goodness.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tom.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, baby boo.
Hi.
Hey, I was at my relative's house last night in San Bernardino when the earthquake hit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on the second floor, and my aunt has all these commemorative plates from the Franklin Mint. Once that earthquake hit, the whole thing came down and just shattered.
So she had some commemorative plates. She no longer does.
I think Ralph would have loved it because she also had the Star Trek collection, and those things just went, completely out.
Wow.
How big was the earthquake? I didn't hear about this.
4.5? Is that right?
Yeah, 4.5 is what they rounded it down to this morning. By the way, how long after you heard about the earthquake last night did you guys think about our psychic who came in and said there was going to be a big earthquake?
Right afterward, I thought about it. And I thought, she wasn't very good because it was 2 days
later. She said in a year and a half in Mexico City and or Los Angeles. Come on.
And she also said...
Who couldn't say that? I could have said that.
She also said, well, it's just weird that we were having a conversation about a Southern California earthquake this week, and then there was one. She also said, by the way, for folks who didn't hear her, she was kind of bogus, that it was going to be bigger than Northridge, too.
Right.
So
yeah,
clearly, this doesn't count.
No, but this is what happens is if they're general enough, there are little specific things that people can give them credit for.
I'm sure she's taking credit for it.
I predicted some sunshine today, and I think I got a good shot at that coming through.
I think you
Let's
did.
Go to Phil in Victorville. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's up, baby boo?
Hey, Phil.
I was calling up because I always take my mom to Vegas for her birthday, and it's her big 75th birthday, and my wife and everybody all
party.
And she's a party animal, believe me. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're the Hispanic people, and she parties more than I do still. and we, every year all the girls get together and they go down to the strip clubs.
Right.
Well, they get a little pissed off because every time they go, they just, they're showing their bodies, but they never show any junk. So basically, my mom and dad, my mom was asking me, hey, where's the guy's strip club? And I said, I don't know. Hey, I'll call Kevin and Bean. Maybe Cycle Mike, Ralph, Lisa May, maybe you guys would know where there's a strip club where guys get total nude for my mom.
I haven't been there in a while, but the Olympic Gardens, for a long, long time, has upstairs had guy dancing.
Really?
And downstairs girl dancing.
Did they totally?
I don't know. I never went upstairs.
Right?
I guess not. I mean, but that was the only place I knew of where you could do both, so that you, Phil, could still watch girls, sort of, and then your mom could watch guys upstairs.
Exactly.
So that would be my guess. Try Olympic Gardens.
But, Kevin, I like to say go Kings.
Thank you.
That was nice last night.
Yes, it was.
And, Olympic Gardens is a place. And
give it a try. Yeah, that's just okay. That's what I remember from before. But
and you might also, there's a new thing now. It's called Google, Google. You might just type in the words, male nude dancing Las Vegas and see what you get.
And then he'll start getting put on all kinds of mailing lists.
Oh, that's true.
That's possible. All right. Do we have
DeJuan.
Time for you? Oh,
really?
DeJuan from Los Angeles, California is calling. Of course we have time.
Hey, DeJuan.
What's up, K-Rock Ritus?
Yes. What's happening, DeJuan?
How's it going?
Good.
It's going well.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Yesterday afternoon, I posted on my Facebook and I said, I represent the West Side Los Angeles Ritus.
Yes.
I represent L.A., North Pottywood, L.A. Train Tech, UCLA, and Santa Monica.
That's good a lot you. Of representing to do, DeJuan.
Woo! Sounds like a busy day you've got now. Hey, DeJuan, can I ask you a question?
I was throwing up the West Side sign.
Yes, yes
well, you
were.
Don't want to. I don't think you want to get involved
yes,
in that,
were.
DeJuan. hey, DeJuan, can I ask you a question since you called in?
Oh, sure, dude.
What what made you think this week to call in and sing Tootsie Roll from 1994 on the Afro Line?
That was the 69 boys back in 1994 when I was in the sixth grade.
Uh-huh. So you liked the song when you were a kid?
Oh, yes.
Okay, but I think Bean's question is, what brought it to your mind to sing to us on the Afro Line the other day?
Because I watch it on YouTube.
Ah.
And you realize, hey, that's a great song. I haven't heard that song in a while. Maybe I'll share it with the guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need... I honestly think we need to have DeJuan come in.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have a bunch of old classics ready to go. And he needs to lay it down.
That'd be awesome.
We need to do like a best of old school from DeJuan.
Sure.
That'd be a great idea.
What do you think, DeJuan? Sell it for charity or something?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so you'll come in and cut an album for us then.
Yeah, but not today, though.
No, not today.
Okay. No, not today.
We wouldn't be ready today either, so don't worry about that.
All right, DeJuan. Thank you for calling. Hey, I don't hear that smoke detector, by the way.
I know. I'm in the living room.
Oh, okay.
Right. But you haven't changed it?
I'm about to buy some batteries.
That's what you said 2 months ago. We're offering to come over and do it for you.
Oh, yes, you can.
We can. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll work on that. Thank you, DeJuan.
That clears it up.
He's in the other room, Bean. What do you think?
I love DeJuan so much.
I do, too. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Friday morning. Ralph's got the movie beat. He will tell you which movies are in the theaters today.
Okay.
I can say this because I'm in no danger of being punched in the face because of the 1,100 miles between Kevin and me. But I saw the commercial yesterday for Hotel for Dogs. Doesn't look too bad.
Mike's already talked me into it.
It doesn't look too bad. I got to be honest. I know that enrages you, Kevin, but it really doesn't look awful. I mean, I've seen trailers for movies that look worse recently.
Through that break, I would have, if it was all for comedy and I was putting it, I would have broken. I'm telling you, it really was a well-made movie.
Yeah, that's great.
And
okay.
You'll enjoy it.
That's fine. But I will no longer take criticism from you on my movie choices. That's it. I mean, you gave it up right there.
But isn't there a chance that it's not bad? Isn't there a chance that Hotel for Dogs is decent?
In which case, it's not like the movies you see?
Yeah, exactly. I would almost guarantee that Hotel for Dogs is better than Paul Blart, Hotel Cop, or whatever that's called.
Mall Cop.
That's whatever it's called. I know.
Hotel Cop. I don't think that comes out until next week, though, does it?
No, I don't think so either. But I'm just saying, while we're comparing movies that we might go see, I bet this is better than the Kevin James movie.
And I'm just saying, I will no longer take criticism from you or Lisa.
Well, you have to go see it then.
Nope.
To see if it's good.
No, you have to go see Mall Cop then to see if it's good.
All right, a movie off.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. All right. Also on today's show, we have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL playoffs.
Okay.
I believe there's two games tomorrow and two games Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right, yeah.
Exciting time. We are going to talk to people who are fired because of what they put on their Facebook or MySpace.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Unfortunately,
with that stuff.
That does happen.
The old people got savvy.
Yeah. Oprah's fat. Give you the update. And we have Kiefer Sutherland coming in today.
Damn!
Talk about 24, which debuts this Sunday night.
Very cool.
So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's next with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show. And Ralph Garman with the Black Death came in today.
Uh-oh.
Are we all going to die?
I don't think so.
Oh, you sound okay.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't feel much better. But
is it flu?
I don't know what it is. It's hunked up. It's what it is.
I heard this morning that whatever they normally do, is it Tamiflu? That's normally what they give you for the flu. But whatever the flu that's going around, Tamiflu isn't the thing to
it mocks it.
Fix it. Yeah, exactly.
It laughs at Tamiflu?
It does.
It does, yeah.
There's salmonella going around, too?
Yes.
Okay, like 400 cases in the U.S. They can't figure out how people are getting it?
They said it could be caused by chicken, eggs, or produce.
Oh, good. So just they narrowed it
just
down.
Just eliminate those from your diet. You'll be fine.
Okay. Excellent.
What does that leave me?
What was the thing? Maybe air or walking.
Yeah. From about, I don't know, whatever the holidays was, whatever vacation we took, I lived like a man possessed. I was drinking every day, staying up all night long, eating all kinds of crap and garbage. Picture of health. I come back to K-Rock, 2 days, boom, I'm on my ass.
Are you sure you didn't wear yourself out over the holiday and then you were down?
You know what it is? It's King of Mexico. Patient zero.
Really?
Every time illness goes through this studio.
You're right.
It starts with the King of Mexico.
It's always the starting point.
And I came in and said, Dave, you feeling okay? A couple days ago. I'm having a bit of a cold. Next thing I know, I'm on my ass sick. Because we're on top of each other in that office. It's like a petri dish in there.
Literally on top of each
Literally.
Other.
Literally.
I need to go in that office more.
There's no ventilation. It's hot in there. It's too warm. It's just a breeding ground for infectious disease.
Yeah. You need to put up a fan that just blows towards Dave.
I need a bubble is what I need.
You do, yeah.
That's what we should put up
I
a
need
plastic
an oxygen
sheet.
Tent.
Well, we need to
need
put
a hazmat suit.
We need to put Dave at the other end of the building is what we should do in his own little office just by himself.
Let's just put one of those dry cleaning bags over his head.
Okay.
Just to keep the germs in.
That would work well as good.
Huh? Well, we're glad to see you again. We're glad to see you again, Ralph. No one's happy with the Showbiz Beat when you're gone, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's what I heard yesterday, but I'll do my best to try to give the people what they want. You know what they want? More R. Kelly news. Apparently, R. Kelly and his wife, Andrea, have officially filed for divorce.
Wait, he was married during all this?
What?
No
for 11
idea.
Years.
He was married?
With 3 children.
What?
Yeah.
Were any of those kids in the video?
Oh, how dare you.
I'm just saying.
It was
Where
his goddaughter.
He wasn't. That wasn't him in the video.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, man. Just someone looked like him. Yeah, I don't know why Andrea wouldn't be happy married to R. Kelly. I can't imagine why she would want to stick around. But a lawyer for the couple confirmed it to People Magazine. They're officially divorced. After 11 years of wedded bliss.
Wow.
I'm surprised she put up with it for 11 years.
She knew there was a problem at the wedding when he peed on the cake.
Oh.
That's when they went to cut the cake and he was whizzing on him. Like,
yeah, that's no good.
Something's up with this guy.
What are you doing?
That's weird.
That sign.
Kevin Costner had a brief stint in the hospital last Tuesday, but was released the next day. People Magazine says he was driving and felt lightheaded, so he called 911. Pussy! Oh, I'm lightheaded. I'm going to call 911. Go home and take a nap when you're lightheaded.
Did he try just to pull over and wait it out or anything? Just
no, right he pulled over and called 911. They kept him overnight for observation, and medical testing revealed that everything was normal, but he still makes horrible movies. And I didn't even know they had a test for that.
That was the diagnosis?
Somehow, the MRI picked that up. MRI picked up 3,000 miles to Graceland somehow. I don't know. But it happened. Josh Duhamel and Fergie are rumored to be tying the knot this weekend.
Oh, wow.
By Monday, we may have news that Fergie is now a married woman.
Neck down.
Yeah, neck down.
Ultimate.
Yeah.
That's why I love that HP commercial she does for her computer. You ever seen that, where she's talking about what she keeps on her laptop?
Yeah, because you don't see
and
her
face.
And
the whole thing is shot from her neck down. It's the best Fergie scene ever.
I saw her again on, she was on that Dick Clark New Year's Eve show. She is really not looking good, and I understand she's had a rough life. You know, she did a lot of bad things to her body, and that's, you know, that's why her face looks like that, but it's still kind of sad.
Plastic surgery, too, is why her face looks like that.
Yeah, I think you're right there, too.
She going to pee on the cake as well? You know?
In the wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Lopez, by the way, wants you to know he had her first. He was
what?
Telling People Magazine this week that his first kiss was to Fergie when they were both kids stars on Kids Incorporated. Remember that show?
Kinda.
No, Incorporated.
Yeah.
It was, you know,
just one of those.
It was like
shows.
The Mickey Mouse Club, kids singing, dancing,
right.
That kind of stuff. And he said, at the age of 10, he was his first kiss was with Fergie, and he bought her a bottle of perfume when they
I
were
love
dating.
It. That is a great story. I hope it took a long time for him to tell.
That's cute. Mario Lopez. Barack Obama. Some people say that Michelle is jealous because he's getting too close to Oprah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure that's ripping her apart.
Michelle Obama and Stedman, apparently both jealous about the amount of time and how close Oprah and Barack Obama are together.
Have you seen her lately? She's not getting very close to anyone.
Wouldn't it be funny if Barack left Michelle for Oprah?
Oh, that'd be the best.
She became our new first lady.
It's funny, by the way, that we now have a young, good-looking, popular, you know, president and wife, so they're going to be tabloid fixtures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see whether the affair starts
that
up.
That would be weird. Yeah.
That would be so awesome.
Samantha Ronson is literally sick and tired of fighting with her girlfriend, Lindsay Lohan. Us Weekly Magazine reports that friends of Sam's are worried because she's lost so much weight and she isn't sleeping at all from all this fighting with Lindsay, and it's really affecting her health. Even her testicles have shrunk, say one friend.
Really?
Yes.
It's gone that far. Yeah, wow.
That is that's bad.
I didn't come over here to eat tacos.
And for all you twihards out there, Us Weekly Magazine says that Cam Giganet is getting married.
What? Wait, isn't he on Gossip Girl? He should be.
Cam Giganet?
I think it's Giganet.
I think it's Gigante.
Gigante?
I think that's how they
Oh, really?
Say it.
It's spelled G-I-G-A-N-D-E-T. It looks like Giganet.
I agree.
It's so much funnier if it's Giganet.
I agree.
King of Mexico said he was on OC. He was on the OC.
He was Volchek, right?
Oh,
Volchek. Oh, I hate that guy.
I hate that guy, too.
I hate him so much.
Does it make you crazy?
Yeah, it makes you crazy.
Apparently, he's in Twilight as well.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And he's getting married for real in real life?
Cam Gigande is not nearly as cool as Cam Giganet.
No.
Cam Giganet, the reason I tell the story, is marrying his longtime girlfriend, Dominique Geisendorf.
What?
Dominique Geisendorf.
Wow.
Now that she's pregnant with his child, the two will be getting married, according to Us Weekly Magazine.
I hope they take each other's names and they hyphenate them.
Oh, right this way, do the Giganet Geisendorf wedding?
He was Never Back Down, too, by the way. He was the star of Never Back Down.
Was he?
Right.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Wow. With a name like Giganet, you better back down.
That's right.
And I want to give you a heads up, all you B-boy fans. There is a tribute art show happening in Los Angeles opening today at Gallery 1988. This is the gallery we talk about with our pal Kevin Smith that does the cult movie art exhibit every year.
That's creative. That place sounds like it does good stuff.
It's a great, great art gallery. I mean, how many times can you get to say that in your life?
Yeah, but, I'm not an art gallery fan.
I am not either, but this is a great place. And they are doing an exhibit through January the 29th called Under the Influence, the official art tribute to the Beastie Boys. This is a bunch of artists who have gotten together and done all different kinds of art, from sculpture to paintings to prints and posters. They made toys. It's all art dedicated to the work of the Beastie Boys. If you want to check it out, I recommend Gallery 1988 very highly. It is right on Melrose, just off of La Brea, right next to Golden Apple Comic Book Store. For more information, you can go to gallery1988.com and find out all the details. But it's a really cool exhibit, and you thought you might want to check
Fantastic
it out.
Fantastic show, by the way. Fantastic. Yeah. I couldn't believe how much cool stuff was on that show.
Our promotions director, Amy Stevens, has already purchased something from the show.
Hasn't
even
really?
Opened it yet.
Wow.
She went online and bought something because, you know, she's a hardcore Beastie Boy.
Yeah.
Fan. Today's celebrity birthdays. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 65 years old today. Singer Dave Matthews turns 42. Joey Lauren Adams, speaking of Kevin Smith, she, of course, was in Chasing Amy, 41 years old. And Backstreet Boy A.J. McClain turns 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Here's the headline. Shocking but true. Michael Jackson, the king of pop's days are numbered, says a new report. Thriller hitmaker said to be in the clutches of a genetic disorder. His health is under deterioration as he is victimized by the crippling addiction of painkillers and booze. One source close to Michael says his condition is so far gone, I'd be surprised if he lasts 6 months.
Really?
Well, that's one report. Let's see what Michael Jackson himself has to say. We've got him on the phone this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Michael?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. What's that beeping?
That's my new fat beat that I'm laying down for my new track.
That really? Because it
sounds like a heart monitor at a hospital.
No. Yeah. No, it's a fat beat.
It's okay. Awful. No one wants to hear that sound.
My name is Michael Jackson, and I'm feeling really good.
Can you stop laying down the fat beat or no?
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
Okay.
That's odd.
By the way, I'd love to hear Michael Jackson try to rap on a record. That
Me
would be
too.
Very entertaining. What about this report? He's in really, really bad shape. He's been sick. He's been sick for 6 to 8 months, and he keeps getting worse. What about that?
That is completely ridiculous. I have no idea how any of these rumors get started.
What? What? It sounded
did
like
your
a
heart
guy...
just stop.
No.
It sounded
ridiculous.
Like your fat beats got stuck, and then someone yelled clear.
Why are you spreading all these lies? I couldn't be more healthy, and I'm really looking forward to putting together a new album.
Wow.
And even touring once the new album's completed.
Okay, before you tour, you have to be able to walk. Are you even able to do that at this point, or are you stuck in bed, the story says?
Of course I can walk. That's ridiculous. I've been working in the dance studio, working on some new moves.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the moonwalk back.
Okay.
Better than ever. And I think that... people are really going to be impressed when they see some of the new trademark dances I put together.
Are you going to bring that doctor with you on tour that can start your heart every 30 seconds?
Dr. Omar?
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
He'll
what?
Be traveling with me on tour.
What's his name?
His name is...
Omar! By the
right,
way,
don't ad lib, Dr. Omar.
By the way, one of the friends of yours, Michael, that's quoted in this story suggests that painkillers and booze is what sent you on the downward spiral. I think you've been spending too much time with Dr. Omar.
First of all, painkillers and booze are great, but I don't need them.
You don't?
No. That's just for fun, because my health has never been better. I've never been more vigorous.
I see.
In fact, I plan on doing some MMA fighting also.
You're not.
Right after I record my new album.
There's no way. Is Dr. Omar laughing? There's no possible way you're going to fight MMA.
No, I will.
Nope.
I will be in with Randy Couture.
I don't see that happening.
Or Haute Couture. Or one of the Couture family. We'll
maybe
be getting
Juicy?
Together. Juicy Couture. We will be in the octagon.
Yeah.
And I will be... dropping some bows to the dome.
Michael, everything you're saying is contrary to everything that we're reading between the lines here, which is that you're very sick and possibly dying.
That could not be less clear! True.
Okay. I guess we'll have to take your word for it.
I guess you will.
Good luck with that fat beat.
All right. Good luck with... clear! Keeping your jobs this year.
No doubt, you've seen the headlines. It's no secret. I've gained weight.
Okay, hold on, Oprah. We don't have time for you right here.
No doubt. We've all seen those headlines. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous Q-Rock. You were fired because of something you put on your website, your Facebook, your MySpace, your blog. It's happening all over the place. We're going to want to talk to you if it happened to you coming up after 7. Kiefer Sutherland on the show today. Ralph, your boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano, will be on to determine whether the Eagles are going to beat the Giants this weekend. We got that coming up.
This is really a coin flip, this game this weekend. Every expert I hear say, we don't know who's going to win. It is the tightest game to call this weekend by far, Eagles, Redskins.
A lot of shows still
all
ahead coming
play.
Up.
Yes, that's why it's so hard to call.
Can't tell who's got the ball. First, though, it's Friday morning. I think you know what that means. Time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
It's a little light this weekend, movie-wise. Only 3 new motion pictures in theaters. However, a lot of the smaller films like Gran Torino are being released on additional screens this weekend. So if you haven't seen that film or some of the other smaller films that are out there, you might get a chance this weekend.
That was my second favorite movie of the entire year.
Clint Eastwood
is
just the man.
Really great.
Your second favorite movie the whole year?
Yep.
2009?
So no, 2000. Well, I saw it. It's late 2008.
Oh, I gotcha. 3 new movies in theaters this weekend, starting with Not Easily Broken. This is by writer T.D. Jakes, who is being compared to Tyler Perry when it comes to African-American filmmaking. Morris Chestnut and The Time star in this film.
I don't think that's the same group.
It's about a car accident that threatens to sever the already fragile bond between Clarice Johnson, played by Tara J. Henson, and her husband Dave, played by Morris Chestnut, as they develop feelings for other people. Their relationship gets even more and more strained. Here is a scene where the wife's mom is telling the husband, played by Morris Chestnut, off.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're putting you out of here. And don't think Clarice is going to change her mind.
The hell you think you're doing, old woman?
Oh! Oh, no, hell no!
No, let her talk. She's always had an equal vote in this marriage. Why are you going to change it now, huh?
What in your mind makes you think you got to go out and get a white woman?
Shut the hell up and mind your own damn business.
David!
No. He been living high on the hog, leeching off your money for years. She more of a man than you'll ever be.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Dude, you don't want to piss off a black woman.
Why
come
do
on.
I just keep waiting for someone to talk about hot Cheetos there in that clip? Someone's going to start screaming about hot Cheetos.
Ralph, it's very rare that there is an African-American drama in the theaters.
Yes.
Generally, if it's an all-black cast, it's pretty light. But yes. this sounds interesting.
So for both of our black listeners, please enjoy this weekend.
And why does this delight the Negro?
Also opening up this weekend is a movie just for Lisa and my wife.
Yes.
Bride Wars.
And I'm going.
Oh, man.
Kate Hudson and Anne Hathaway star as two best friends who become rivals when they accidentally plan their respective weddings on the same day at the same place.
No, they didn't. Why are you going to this, Lisa?
She has to. It's the law. If you have a uterus, you have to go to this film.
I don't know about that law.
Look, I've seen the trailers. It's not good.
Well,
but
why are you going?
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know?
I mean, my friend wanted to see a comedy, and she loves both those actresses, actually. So I said, okay, because I don't think, I mean, however bad it is, I still like them as well, and it'll be fun.
But isn't it time to reevaluate your friendship with this person?
Yeah.
It's
well,
a chick thing,
we've seen lots
man.
Of good movies,
It really
too.
Is. They just got to go. They have to.
You need to.
First of all, it's got these two girls starring in it, and it's about weddings.
Yeah.
It's mandatory.
Kind of
got to
go.
Wow.
I really like Anne Hathaway.
This movie is just a vagina magnet. Just women will be drawn to it all over the world.
Wow.
Then they start to sabotage each other's weddings because they want the date and the place that they plan their wedding for.
You
and they
can't
used
believe.
To be best friends, and they were going to be the bridesmaid at each
yep.
other's wedding.
The that lengths they go to,
is
Kevin,
be crazy.
Is unbelievable.
Based on a true story in this film. Ugh. Here's a scene where Kate Hudson's getting mad at Anne Hathaway for sending out her save the dates, which, of course, is the same date as her wedding.
You sent out your save the dates?
Surprised?
Your wedding better watch it.
If I were your wedding,
I'd be sleeping with one eye open.
You're right. Your wedding will be huge, just like your ass at prom. Your wedding can suck it.
Wow!
Come on.
Your wedding can suck it.
Just like your ass at prom. Your wedding will be huge.
Come on. I'm the guy that'll see
Lisa's
anything.
Lisa's going to go see that. You're going to see Paul Blart Mall Cop and Bean's going to Hotel for Dogs.
This is my
version
of
you're all dead to me.
You should be.
You're all dead to me.
Wow.
I'm going to be checking out The Unborn this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
That's so good.
Now we're
too
talking.
Scary.
Starring the lovely Odette Yustman, who apparently you guys talked to yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah, hotter in real person than on the screen.
Wow.
Which is hard to believe.
That is saying something.
You know that category, hotter in real person.
Sure. Excuse me. Gary Oldman also stars in this film.
Also hot.
Written and directed by David S. Goyer, the man who gave us Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. And Cam Giganet is also in this film.
Is that right?
Yes.
Really?
Also in this
How about that?
I kid you not.
No, I thought you were kidding.
No, he's actually in it.
All right.
I just learned how to pronounce his name. Here's a scene where Odette, she's gone through some stuff. You know, she's having horrible nightmares, strange dreams. She's being haunted by ghostly visions. And it turns out that she had a twin brother who never made it to term, who now
who's getting married on the same day in the same hotel.
Different. He's been tied to a curse, and he needs her to die so he can be manifested into this world from the underworld so he can be evil and stuff.
And he's not very patient.
No, he's not.
It doesn't look like.
So anyway, she's pleading with her rabbi, Gary Oldman, and who's more Jewish than Gary Oldman, by
sure.
the way, for an exorcism in this scene.
I need an exorcism performed. I'm being haunted by something. A dipbook. Yes, a dipbook.
There really is no such thing, Miss Balda. At least not outside the realms of folklore. You have to understand, back in the Middle Ages, things like spirits and demons were really just a catch-all for conditions people weren't capable of properly diagnosing. Mental illness, as we know it, didn't exist back then.
I'm not mentally ill. Okay, what's happening to me is real.
Yeah.
And then people's heads start turn upside down, and dogs have heads upside down and stuff.
And the
scary.
Little children are like,
yeah. wet your pants. But
he wants to be born now, you guys.
I hear that's true.
I wet my pants whenever I see Odette Yustman anyway, so it all ties in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying? Here's how much Dave loved her yesterday. He agreed to go to this movie, and you know Dave, he's terrified of scary movies. Yeah. He's actually going to go, apparently.
I'm going to sit in on the interview, and then I will go to the movie. He knew he had to pay us something, so he sat in here with his stupid little sweater and tie.
Girls can't turn down that look.
And now they're dating.
The fifth grade class picture look. How do they resist that?
It's a no game game.
That's tragic. Anyway, so that's my pick for the week. It looks like a very scary film put together by a very talented writer and director. And it's got Odette Yustman and Cam Giganet in it. What more do you need? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
It's no secret. I've gained weight.
Yes, you have.
I've gained weight.
Wow, you've gotten really fat.
Yeah.
She sounds pretty happy. I've gained weight.
Yeah, she's not.
It's Kevin and Mitchell on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. Here's how the Oprah show has been able to stay on the air for 30 years, because over half of the shows are Oprah sitting around for an hour talking about how fat she is.
Well, yeah. I mean, we
never
get to hear...
It does seem like it's the number one topic on her show.
It's a number one topic in a lot of women's heads.
Yeah.
And we don't hear many celebrities admit to their problems with fat.
But most celebrities also aren't...
Fat?
Aren't that fat and that noticeable.
They're throwing up in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
So Oprah did a show about being fat, and I brought in some highlights.
Okay.
Thought you might like to hear a little bit of her talking about how she thought she had it. But first of all, notice the music. It's the sad, someone just lost their house.
Yeah.
Divorce, mm-hmm. VH1 Behind the Music, tragedy music for her to talk about fatness.
I thought I had it.
Why do you have to say the same thing over and over again?
Emphasis.
And what happened was life took over.
I found out her secret, though, is when she gains weight, she uses less words by just repeating what she says over and over again.
She's distraught. She's in shock. She's like someone just pulled out of a car accident.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it didn't just happen.
It did. Just happen.
It's not just like she woke up 40 pounds heavier one day.
She was talking about some show that she did with Tina Turner and Cher.
Yes.
I guess
that's
on
right.
The same stage or something. I don't know. It didn't look like it was in her studio.
Mm-hmm.
But she was talking about what that was like.
Tina Turner and Cher are American icons. They still look great. So the anxiety of, okay, now I've got to put myself on a big stage.
A bigger stage than last year, by the way.
And stand between Tina and Cher and try to make myself not be as big as I am.
I saw that clip on Access Hollywood from this Oprah show that you're talking about, and that was her wake-up moment. That was her light bulb moment where she said, these women are so much older than I am and look so fantastic. How did I get to be such a fat schlub?
Yeah.
So she's nervous about them calling her out in the middle during their final song or something to sing with them?
I mean, how's that going to happen? How's that going to happen?
Why do you have to say everything twice?
I will tell you.
Just awful. I felt awful. I wanted to just disappear.
Yeah.
She really does say everything twice.
Which is impossible, by the way. She can't disappear because there's no place on Earth she could be where you couldn't see her.
There's a lot of disappearing right there.
You could see her from space at this point.
I don't know when she started repeating herself. I've never noticed this before.
I don't really watch her regularly.
Your movements are slower. Your responses are slower.
This is her trainer that told her this.
There's a dullness about you. There's a dullness about you.
Really? Really?
Good one, fatty.
You didn't dummy this up, did
no,
you?
No, I did not.
She really is.
Yes, she
this?
Is. Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
So she goes to her doctor to find out what the problem is. Her legs are swelling. She doesn't know what to
do. Her brain's getting fat.
Now let's talk about Oprah for a second. She does make $200 million per year, pretty much. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you
She's
can
so
imagine
rich.
That she has the doctor of doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to the doctor, and he gives her what he thinks is the problem.
My doctor said, you need to get off of salt. And I instinctively knew that it wasn't salt.
I like that about her.
Yeah.
She has the best medical care possible.
That's right.
And she knows that he's not right.
You're fat.
And so I went from that doctor to another doctor to another doctor. And by the time I'd been to the fourth doctor, I was on heart medication. I was on blood pressure medication. None of the doctors who I was seeing at the time.
Okay, so four, probably the best doctors in the country.
She's going to go until a doctor tells her what she wants to hear.
I recognized that it was a thyroid problem. But our viewers did. Our viewers did.
I'm going to say it twice.
Our viewers did.
Our viewers
did. Oh, what's the word? Fat.
So here's, she's saying she went to all these specialists. No one ever thought of thyroid. None of the four.
I don't believe that.
None of the four thought of it.
That's weird.
So then her staff was going through email, and a couple of emailers said, hey, why don't you have your thyroid checked?
Everyone says that when people gain weight and can't figure out why. They go, well, maybe it's your thyroid. That's the most common thing that you ask people.
And don't you think if there are four of the best doctors in the country that all four would have said that?
Yes.
We
yes.
need to consider this, 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 and this.
Yes. That's so crazy.
She says none of them thought about it, but the viewers, thank God, found out that it was a thyroid condition.
Well, now it doesn't matter. I got a thyroid problem. If I don't embrace hunger, everything I eat is going to make me fat anyway, and so I might as well just eat whatever I want. It was like some kind of sentence. You know, it was a fat sentence.
It was a fat sentence.
But they have medication to
you
fix it.
You must...
Oprah, you must be fat.
The most effective medications, T3 and T4 medications for your thyroid, work like crazy.
Yeah, I know a girl that was always having problems with her weight and went on the medication and boom, lost 25 pounds.
Either eat or talk, Mike. Don't do both.
Well, that's important to say, is that thyroid is not unbeatable?
Not at all. I mean, it might take time to get the medication right, but there's treatment.
So she got a little down.
Okay. Fat wins.
I'd hate to see the extra baggage fees on that.
And I think, okay, that's it. I give. I give.
I'm going to repeat myself. I'm going to repeat myself.
I think it's harder for Oprah every time she falls off the wagon to get back on.
Because she's heavier, of course. When you fall off a wagon and you're heavier, it is hard to get back
on. Sure.
That's her trainer, who, by the way, she should dump.
Yeah, she should. She should fire him.
She's talking about how she was trying to stay positive.
So I had just about given up on myself. I just about given up on myself.
Oh, no my way. God.
I'm not kidding you.
Hey,
this is all, by the way, everything you've heard is from the first 10 minutes of the show.
Wow. Shouldn't she be happy, by the way? Wouldn't most women be happy that they now have an excuse to blame it on, that it's not their lack of dedication to losing weight, it's that they have a medical condition? You think that would be a get-out-of-jail-free card?
Well, it was. That's what she's saying, is last year, I guess in February or something, yeah. She found out. Mm-hmm. And so that all of last year was her eating, saying that she had a fat sentence. That's what she was saying, yeah. In effect.
Will you embrace my big fat ass?
I am mad at myself. I am embarrassed. I can't believe I'm still talking about weight. I can't believe, with all the other things that I know how to do and all the other things that I'm so great at, I can't believe I'm still talking about weight.
All the other things that I'm great at. I'm really great at stuff. Not weight.
Doesn't mean...
Do fat people repulse you?
Yes.
So then she's talking about money and fame and success and everything else.
Doesn't mean anything if... You can't fit into your clothes. You can't fit into your clothes.
And you can't fit into your clothes.
And you can't fit into your clothes.
Yeah.
And by the way, she has, I don't know why this strikes me so, I think it strikes me bad, not because she's money and I care that she has a lot of money, but that she can have a live-in chef. And a live-in trainer, and she can have everything.
Haven't we always
it's resources.
All thought, God, this would be so much easier if I could have some help.
It's like resources.
If I yeah.
She has them all.
To have someone come and cook delicious, healthy foods for you would be amazing.
So now she's going to start telling us the answers that she's found in her life so that she can help us all.
What answers?
When I ask myself, what am I hungry for? I am hungry for balance.
With chocolate.
I'm hungry for balance.
With chocolate.
What does that mean?
So it's not food. It means her life's out of whack.
What does that mean?
So she's eating food as a way of feeling better, I guess. I don't know.
And maybe someone would marry her, too, if she could lose that last 100 pounds.
All this year, I've been hiding my body because I didn't want you to see it.
Okay, that's not necessarily a bad thing, if I could just
no.
say that right now.
It's also impossible.
That.
How do you hide 40 pounds? Unless you're wearing muumuus.
So at one point she says, I didn't feel like being a cover model either because, and she puts herself on the cover of Oprah magazine every month.
Yeah.
Right. And that's when I started yelling. I was like, why don't you not put yourself on the cover?
Good point.
Because she showed a bunch of pictures from last year, and they were all neck up. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, I just didn't, I hated photo shoots. I just wanted to do it. I thought, if only you had any control over that, you could make a decision.
It's embarrassing. I was very disappointed in myself. Mm-hmm. I was very disappointed in myself.
Yeah. She almost forgot to say that twice, but then she caught it. Thank God. I just really.
I'm pigging out.
Yeah, she said that. There's the music.
There was a time I was so exhausted that, you know, many a day I didn't want to come into work.
Did you want to?
I didn't
want
to come into work.
You didn't want to come into work. I see. All right.
One of the things I had to learn to do is to embrace this body that I have.
But I couldn't get my arms around it. That's where she starts now giving the message out,
which is whatever weight you're at, be love your body.
Yeah.
That's such BS.
No, she clearly doesn't.
But that's always
she
said.
Hates herself.
That's always said just before they lose weight, and then when they lose weight, they come out and go, "Look, I lost weight." But why don't you accept me how I am when I'm fat?
My drug of choice is food.
Yeah.
My drug of choice is food.
All right. Right. Really? Can we hear much more about this? I mean,
why does fat make you repeat yourself? I've never known that connection.
I'm telling you, I think she has to say half the amount of words. If she repeats everything.
Yeah.
If she repeats everything.
Fat people. What's the difference between being addicted to heroin and addicted to ranch? Put the ranch down, fat ass.
Yeah.
Fat asses, I've been saying that my whole life.
Yeah.
I'll be saying it until the day I die. Fat people.
I know that Jack Bauer has had his share of really, really bad days, but today is going to be one of the worst because he's coming into the Kevin and Bean Show in the 8 o'clock hour. So he's not going to have
the following time. Takes place from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Exactly. And by that, you mean he's going to have the time of his life.
So Jack Bauer, why is the dollar so low?
Oh, no. Please tell me he's not going to do that.
No.
You actor guys. Kiefer Sutherland joins us in the 8 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning at 6:52.
And Kevin will be like, so Jack Bauer makes all those really cool jackets for outerwear and stuff like that? No, it's Eddie Bauer.
How dare you?
Horrible, horrible day for Jack Bauer.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
Maybe they can film it. It could be one of their bad hours.
It would be. Willie Ames, you remember him?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was Tommy Bradford on 8 is Enough.
Right.
More importantly, he was Buddy on Charles in Charge.
Sure.
Buddy Lembeck?
Buddy Lembeck. That's right, Psycho Mike. He had a bad Thanksgiving.
Yeah?
You think yours was bad? His was worse. He tried to commit suicide.
Oh, man.
Willie Ames? No way.
Yeah. Apparently, his wife of 22 years filed for divorce after he declared for bankruptcy just before Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
And that was the end for him. He said he started drinking to forget about his problems. I stole a bottle of Jack Daniels from the guy I was renting a room from. I had been sober for 20 years before I took that drink.
Wow.
And he began mixing alcohol with antidepressants, anti-anxiety pills, which turns out is a bad combination.
Mm-hmm.
I put a knife to my throat and cut myself in 6 places.
Hmm.
The police came, put me in handcuffs, and whisked me away. I was completely devastated. I kept asking, what did I do wrong?
What?
You tried to kill yourself. Which is against the law, oddly enough.
It is against the law, that's true.
So he said now he's putting his life back on track, and hopefully he'll be on Celebrity Fit Club again soon.
At any point did he say,
okay, fat wins?
I don't think he did.
Nope.
Okay. Although he was on Celebrity Fit Club.
He was.
So maybe fat did win.
Wow.
You never know. Jessica Simpson says she's in no hurry to marry Tony Romo, despite the rumors to the contrary.
Yes.
I thought all those rumors came from her.
I did, too. She says it's funny when you hear about them out buying diamond rings because she said their relationship is lots of movie nights and cooking food together, but no diamonds just yet.
I just can't shake the feeling that woman is a complete tool.
Well, good news is you and Tony will have lots of time during the playoffs to cook together and watch movies. So your relationship should be stronger than ever.
Mike laughs like he finds that funny.
Yeah, right.
Cowboys aren't in the playoffs.
Wearing his Tony Romo hat.
Cardinals are, though.
That's
Cardinals
correct.
Are. Looks like Donna Martin may be returning to 90210. That's right. Tori Spelling is apparently in conversation with the producers of the brand new Beverly Hills 90210 to reprise her role as Donna Martin. How exciting is that?
I just can't shake the feeling that woman is a complete tool.
Tori was holding out because the show wasn't coughing up enough cash, but apparently they decided that it would be worth it for the ratings boost to have her return to the show that made her famous and her cleavage gaping.
So, Shannon Doherty is on the show.
Yes.
Jenny Garth is on the show.
Indeed.
Luke Perry is on the show, if
yes,
I recall
correctly.
And now you're saying Tori Spelling.
How about that?
Where the hell's Jason Priestley?
Oh, no.
He won't
He's got this much dignity left. So just a little bit too much to root beer. Speaking of TV shows that won't go away, ER isn't quite finished.
What?
This is the last season. They tell us that every week.
It is the last season, but they have added three additional episodes to the last season. NBC's asked them to film three more episodes. So there'll be 22 episodes this 15th and final season for ER.
Do you think it's because they've got some people coming back from old seasons?
I think they're kind of stretching out this ratings bonanza as long as possible.
Yeah.
Because it's still in the top 10 quite often, that show.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's why I was going to ask, Ralph, why is it going away? Is it just too expensive now?
Well, how many more stories can you tell? How many seasons has it been? 11
seasons? 15 seasons, Lisa.
15 seasons.
It's been on the air for 15 years.
Everyone's tired.
Could be.
Yeah, I have no idea why it's going away. But I'm
that is one of those shows, though, that has endless opportunities. Yeah. When you talk about a hospital, an emergency room.
I stopped watching 5 years ago. I just couldn't take the stress anymore. It's a very stressful show.
Really?
It is.
It is. I'm not kidding.
It is relentlessly stressful. Yeah. There's no sort of comic relief anymore on that show. It's just one disaster after another.
Yeah.
And the third or fourth time they had a homeless guy hold the ER hostage with a rifle, I guess. They just figured, all right, we're out now.
They've
we're going back
four
to
four or five wholesale cast changes. I mean, completely turning
amazing.
Over the cast. It's remarkable.
Although there was
I was out when
people,
the
so
when the helicopter crashed into the ER. That's when I was out.
Hey, that could happen.
Did a helicopter crash land on like the chief of medicine or something? The dude that everyone hated? Yeah,
yes.
That was good times.
Sure that wasn't Scrubs?
I'm pretty sure. Did you watch the new Scrubs, by the way?
Yes.
So funny.
Very funny.
So funny. Both of those episodes are really, really good.
Yep.
That show's good. It shouldn't go away.
I agree.
AMC Cable Network has announced that Mad Men has been renewed for a third season beginning this summer.
You don't have to tell Kevin that.
Yeah, I got him the first season. He's planning on watching it, he says.
I'm very close to starting the first episode.
Oh, dear Lord.
The network has also announced that they're doing a remake of The Prisoner, the classic 1960s British sci-fi spy series, which will debut right after Mad Men this summer as well. Jim Caviezel has been cast in lead of that series. The Prisoner, by the way, one of my favorite shows.
Oh, I never heard of that. It's a British show, you said?
British show about a guy who's sort of like a James Bond secret agent dude. But he goes to sleep one night and he wakes up and he is on an island. He has been moved to an island because he knows too much.
Mm-hmm.
And he spends the rest of his time trying to get off of this island.
It's Kate and Sawyer and Ben.
No, it's this weird island. It's got these weird little homes and stuff. And apparently everyone there has been sent there by some major government because they have just too much information.
And so there's the rich guy with his wife, the Howells, and there's like a scientist. And
you
can,
guys, right. You're not
Marianne.
I've seen that.
Yeah, that's good.
And so instead of taking them out, they just send them to this island, either to debrief them and try to extract the information of what they have or to keep them from telling other people. And you don't know who's running the island. And so this guy, you're only given a number when you get to the island. The lead, number six, keeps trying to escape the island. That's the plan. And then these giant white balloons that come out of the water and attack you when you try to go into the water. You got to see it.
And a black smoke monster. What the hell are you talking about?
It's called The Prisoner.
Jacob, ghost sitting in a rocking chair.
You can't get Kevin to watch Mad Men, which is on now, and you try to get him to watch The Prisoner, which is on 35 years ago.
You know, it's funny. I was buying Kevin a Christmas gift, and I picked him up a couple seasons of Little Britain. Because I know he enjoys British comedy. Now he's been he likes Eddie Izzard and Ricky Gervais and stuff. I said he would probably appreciate the original Little Britain from England. And next to it was the BBC box set of The Prisoner. And I said that's a cool series. I'm not going to bother to try to stretch him that far.
I'm stretching.
Oh,
that's what she said.
And Amy Winehouse, as if she didn't have enough problems. She has now been targeted by Islamic extremists.
What? I just can't shake the feeling that woman is a complete tool.
All right.
What? Fatwa. Fatwa against Amy Winehouse.
Why?
Doesn't Oprah have the fatwa?
She has been named on a hit list released by Ummah.com. I don't know what Ummah stands for. UMMAH.com.
That's Uma Thurman's home site.
Oh, Gilligan. And there's a list, apparently a hit list, released by the terrorist organization, and she is on there. As is Amy's producer, Mark Ronson, who's also Jewish. All Jews on the list, by the way, are being targeted.
Is that her only crime, is being Jewish?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
So, as if she doesn't have enough to worry about. Now she's got that.
She's got a fatwa against herself. She doesn't need anyone else to...
It's true. She's terrorizing her own liver every day. Today's celebrity birthdays. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 65 years old today. Dave Matthews turns 42. Joey Lauren Adams turns 41 years old. Backstreet Boy A.J. McLean is 31. And Hathaway turns 44 today. Yeah. Hathaway!
What is love?
Yeah!
Baby, don't hurt me.
Come on. Come on now.
Don't hurt me no more.
What is love? What's Hathaway up to these days? He's collecting paychecks from Diet Pepsi commercials.
He does Diet Pepsi?
Have you seen that Pepsi Zero or whatever it is, that commercial?
They use that song, do they?
They do that song when everyone's falling asleep.
Yeah.
Big, big paycheck for him. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Bunch of articles in the news lately about how employers are checking MySpace and Facebook and all of those sites.
Oh, yeah.
From Los Angeles to England, thousands of social network site users have lost their jobs or failed to clinch new ones because of their pages' content. Police, colleges, schools... Everybody seems to be, they find out what your name is, they go look on the web and find out what you have up on the web, and then it can affect you negatively.
Yeah, I'm sure when you're going through college, you never think about your first job interview that they might do that. God knows what's on your MySpace.
There have been so many stories, Lisa. It's great that you brought that up because a lot of people don't think. They put up a picture of them drunk at a party on their MySpace page, and then they don't even think that 2 years later they're trying to get into college or get a job or something like that, and somebody will dig that up. But... I think it goes too far in a lot of these cases. I think you ought to be allowed to have a private life. I've read so many stories about teachers, for instance, who are doing stuff in their off time, and because they wouldn't want them to do it in front of their students at the school, somehow they're fair game to get fired. And I think that's bogus.
Yeah.
I agree.
Listen, I do too. I mean, we went through a time here and are still going through it where they check our stuff online, and they want complete control over... Over what you put on the web.
On our own stuff, yeah.
Which is crazy. Crazy.
Yep.
So we're going to talk, we want to talk to you if you lost your job. You know, Facebook, MySpace, whatever it is you put up there that somebody found objectionable.
Here's a here's a quick sampling of some of the stories that are going around right now. 27 workers at the AAA, the Automobile Club of Southern California, were fired for messages about their colleagues on their MySpace sites. A Florida sheriff's deputy whose MySpace page revealed his heavy drinking and fascination with boobs found himself handing in his badge. here's a British guy who was fired for saying on his Facebook page that his work was the S word. So in other words, he's venting on his page. You know, like, hey, my job is crappy. And somehow they find out about that. And they fire him. You ought to be able to say your job is crappy, right?
Yes.
Well, of course.
How is that
you
shouldn't even a fireable offense?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a Las Vegas teacher at a Catholic school who, because he declared himself gay on his MySpace page.
Oh,
what?
Wasn't talking about it at school. Put it in his profile on his MySpace page. That's all they needed to know. Here is the staff of an Ottawa, Canada grocery store chain fired for negative comments on Facebook. Police officers investigated for Facebook comments. Here's an intern at a bank who told his employers that he had a family emergency, but you go to his Facebook page and you see that he in reality had been at a Halloween party. So you put that up and it maybe is contrary to the official position that you've given your company and you get fired.
But how do they, we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 if this has happened to you, or if you've been on the other end, you've had to check on somebody.
Yeah.
But how does this happen? Like, how did most of those people find out about their Facebook? Or did they have somebody at every company that just trolls for employees?
Probably. A big company, I bet, does.
Really? And catch people?
Don't they check email that you're sending out from your company
I assume
email
they do.
Address?
I assume they check.
Oh, I hope not. Oh, I hope not.
Oh, I assume they do. Of course they do. They can.
Well, I mean, they
then how is Psycho Mike
warning.
Still working here? Come on.
That's a good point.
It's empty threats here.
Yeah. But if you've noticed, Bean, anytime I send anything that's funny or good, I usually send it on my private email. I don't send it from my K-Rock email because our company is insane.
You're very smart. Very smart. Here's a list of suggestions for people who are going to post things on their private pages and the way to avoid it impacting your work job. Don't do it during work time unless you have permission to do so. In other words, you shouldn't be uploading these photos or writing these pithy comments that might get you in trouble on the clock. Makes sense.
Okay. Sure.
Don't post anything that you wouldn't feel comfortable posting or discussing in the lunchroom at work. We don't even bother sending those emails, by the way.
Yeah.
Remove comments posted by others that can get you into trouble. Raise your privacy settings. In other words, make it – you have to be a friend on MySpace or something for
that's
people to be able to
idea.
See your comments.
Yeah,
that's, yeah.
Do not never admit on your page to anything even remotely resembling a crime.
So, but why? Because the police can find it and use it,
or
just your company.
Yeah, your employer, or you know, your future employer. Don't disclose personal information that you are not comfortable having out there. Be sure to monitor your information. Be considerate of others when you are posting things. Don't discuss anything confidential online. Be careful if you mix your personal and business online. Those are all suggestions just this week out from the Associated Press on ways to avoid being reprimanded or fired or worse, arrested for something on the net.
We have been saying this for a while, and that is email and online, Facebook, MySpace, all that kind of stuff is you have to assume that the people you want to read it, you know, the least will read it and work from there. Otherwise, you're screwed.
And isn't there something about how hard it can be to get stuff off the internet once it's up? Like, I had a friend Google me and then email me and go, what's with you and the girls kissing thing? And I never...
You didn't take that down.
Googled me. I don't want to, but what I'm saying is, what if at some point I wanted a job that where that wasn't okay? How would I even get that down? I didn't put it up. I don't even know where it came from.
I don't either.
I've never
seen you kiss a girl. Tell you that. Never seen that.
So if someone else were in that position, I think there are companies you can hire to do that for you.
To clean it up for
you?
Yeah,
it kind of takes a professional.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, by the way. And just because you think something is taken down doesn't mean it's not in the cache somewhere else. Yeah. Doesn't mean somebody else doesn't have it on their page or whatever.
And by the way, the other thing that's really annoying about this is that it says colleges... You know, are looking at the Facebook and MySpace.
Are you serious?
To see if they can let you into college. And I'd like to suggest that everything I wrote while I was in high school was bad. I mean, really, just as a rule.
Well, they shouldn't let you into college.
Stuff that you shouldn't write or shouldn't do because I find, you know, inappropriate stuff funny.
Yeah.
But, man, oh, man, can you imagine when you're 17 or 18 being judged by what you're putting online?
That's brutal.
Especially these days when almost every 17 or 18-year-old has some sort of page out
there. Sure.
All right, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk to you if you're on either side of this equation. You have gotten into trouble because you have posted something that didn't have anything to do with your work or school, but they found it on your private page, or you're the one who is bringing the hammer down. Why don't we start with Joe? He's in Rancho Cucamonga, and he is on line 3 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Joe. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Why are you bad?
yeah.
I mean, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. What do you do for a living?
I'm an HR manager, and the company that I used to work for, we'll just say it was in retail. Well, I guess they're no longer in business, so I guess it's linens and things.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And we had an employee who was stealing, and another employee tipped us off to it and said that it's all over their MySpace page. And sure enough, you go to their MySpace page, they're advertising that they have, like, vacuum cleaners for sale and where you can find it on eBay.
Well, that person should have been fired just for stupidity.
Just for being dumb.
Did anyone ever ask him as he was getting fired, how could you be so dumb as to put something like, I mean, to basically to admit to a crime? What did he say?
Just how you can find these products on eBay. Some of his friends were posting comments like, thanks for this or thanks for that. Like, he gave one of his friends a vacuum cleaner. We used to sell Dyson vacuum cleaners. They're supposed to be like really high-end vacuum cleaners. And they were just like, thanks for the vacuum and works great. Love you.
That's awesome. Here's me breaking into the building after hours. Here's me with a couple of items as I walk out to my car.
Here's me shooting a guy in Reno just to watch him die.
People were also asking him for stuff on his MySpace page. Hey, can you get me this?
Oh, great. You had a request list?
Placing orders.
I like that.
Yeah, people placing orders on his MySpace page.
Wow. That's fantastic. All right. Well, that's a little dumber than I thought would be out there. But thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We'll take more calls. 1-800-520-1067.
There are dozens, maybe hundreds of stories in the last few months of people who have gotten in trouble with work or school because of something they didn't have anything to do with their performance at those places, but it was on their personal webpage, a MySpace or a Facebook or a blog or something like that. And that's what we're taking calls on right now at 1-800-520-1067. We heard from an HR guy about why he had to fire somebody. Now let's hear from some of the people who have been fired.
Let's talk to Ian in Torrance. Good morning, Ian.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. Good. You got fired?
Yeah, I got canned. I used to work in an armored company, armored transport company. We took a bunch of pictures of myself and a buddy in a vault with all the money. And the corporate guy found out about it a couple nights later after I posted it. Called down to the manager and said, this guy needs to be canned, like, now. So they canned us for that because they said we displayed private and sensitive company information and because we were wasting time on the clock, they said.
Private and sensitive. It was just a pile of cash?
It was a little bit more than that, but they were worried that they we jeopardized the integrity of the security of our vault.
I will tell you that most people don't want you to know how much money they have in their vault. Because they're more of a target that way, I think.
I mean, you think about armor companies, kind of, you know, common sense is going to have a lot of cash in there.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Did you fight it or anything like that? Were you pissed off, or did you understand where they were coming from?
I understood where they're coming from, but at the same time, I still try to get a lawyer and talk to the lawyer and see what they said. But they're like, you know what, it's just going to be so much of a pain in the ass. Just go ahead and, you know, do what you got to do and take your
lumps.
Employment.
Yeah.
Wow. Exactly. All right, dude. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Garden Grove now. Mike is on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike, what kind of trouble did you get into and why?
I personally did not get in trouble, but when in my time in the military, I had two friends that were kicked out of the military for taking pictures in restricted areas.
Really? And putting them up?
Yeah.
What pictures in restricted areas? You mean where? Like in Iraq?
No, some of it was stateside, some of it was overseas.
But it was just stuff the military didn't want pictures of?
Yeah, like pictures of nuclear weapons standing in front of it, stuff like that. Or
put a peace sign in front of a nuclear weapon.
If we're learning anything from the first two calls here this morning, it's no matter how cool it is, don't take a picture of you with it. All right, dude, thank you for the call. Let's try Tom in Hemet. He's on line 6 of the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling in. What happened?
Hey, what's going on? I was working for Green Construction, and after my boss would drop me and his nephew off, we'd kind of throw parties in the customer's house, and
right.
I worked the right before he'd come to get us.
Right.
And my stupid friend, which was his nephew, put the pictures on his MySpace, and on Monday when I called him, I was like, hey, Ben, when are you going to pick me up for work? He's all, oh, I'm not. He's all, you're fired. I was like, why? And he's all, well, you're throwing parties in the houses.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could see that coming. You didn't know he was putting the pictures up?
No.
That's what you do with them now.
All right. Wow. Thank you.
Let's talk to Carlos on line 4. He's in L.A. Talk about somebody who got in trouble because of what a friend did. That's what Carlos' story is all about. Hey, Carlos. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Carlos.
What happened, dude?
Hey, well, okay. I was working at this organic food store, and I had gone out, like, the week before, and I got pretty stoned, and
right. There
was cameras involved, and so one of my friends sends me a comment, and he's like, hey, you remember this last week, man? We were pretty effed up, you know?
Sure.
And my manager, he has a MySpace, and he hopped on, and he sees it, and he's like, are you coming to work high? Tell me yes or no. And I told him no. Well, guess what? You're still fired, because you know you're not supposed to be under the influence
ever
of drugs ever. Yeah. And I was like, well, but I'm not high and coming to work. He's like, well, yeah, but yeah, that's not good for us, you know, because you work here, and you know, you have, that's like your, one of your main pictures.
Wow,
and,
dude,
yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, and yeah. I told my friend, like, hey, man, you know, you putting that comment, I got fired because of that, and I still didn't get paid for that weekend. And he was just like, well, get a new job.
Too bad.
Yeah, that was like 8 months ago, and I still haven't found a job.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Carlos, are you high right now?
I'm about to go get high.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you get to it then. Thank you.
Yeah,
don't take a picture of it and put it on the web. You'll have a hard time getting a job. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:34.
What's so funny?
This mic is attacking
Mike
him.
Does not want to work today.
The microphone stand, the microphone that stand here was completely ruined last night, apparently. It was torn down, so Psycho Mike and some guy, fake guy named McCabe, and somebody else like built one out of, I don't know, coconuts and a straw, and it's not, and it's moving all over the place, so I have
it's
to chase it.
Pretty low rent. Pretty low rent. Kevin, you're having a rough 2009, because I can't help but hear your problems at work. And as I understand, when you go home, it's not exactly blissful peace and quiet either.
Well, here's the thing. You know how you have certain things that you know work and you understand the concept how they work, but you can't buy it. One of those things for Bean is airplanes. You look at an airplane, it's too heavy to fly. There's no way that it's really possible. Obviously, they do, but I don't understand.
Yeah.
Crickets.
I can't figure it out, because I think that they must turn the earth. We stay in the same spot, and then they just turn the earth to get us to wherever we're going. There's no other possible explanation for me.
Crickets, which have overrun my house, each one of them can make a noise that is just unimaginable.
It can be deafening. A cricket can be so loud you can hear nothing else.
And they do that by rubbing their legs together?
That's
that
what
is
they
accurate.
Say.
Yeah.
No
yes.
way.
That is crazy. That's
no
unbelievable.
Way. So we had like a cricket or two, and then three or four, and I just thought, I'll just, if I just keep up, you know, if I kill the few I see, we must have left the door open or something, no big deal. And then in December, it was like, there was an onslaught. It was like one cricket said to all the other crickets, come on with me, we're going in. And my entire house now, every room full of crickets.
Now, I want to hear more about this, but to avoid the people who are going to email you to say this, I will say it for them. Why would you kill a cricket? Crickets are nothing but good. Crickets do nothing but good work.
Because they're in my house.
They can't hurt you.
And they make noise that's so loud.
Can you catch
loud.
Them and put them outside?
Nope.
Okay.
Don't want to. You know why?
Them.
They'll just come right back in. You know what I mean?
Can you even
how many
hear
crickets are we
TV?
Talking about here?
There has to be... Oh. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. They are all over the place. They're having sex like rabbits are supposed to. And I imagine there are enough crickets in the world. I know everybody has to draw the line someplace above which animal they are
we'll
unwilling
kill or
to
not.
Kill.
Yeah.
Crickets above my line. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
And I've probably killed 200 in the last month
oh.
and a half.
They're taking
so it's,
over.
This is the cricket Darfur at your house.
Yes.
If I were to pick up a cricket newsletter right now, they would talk about immediate aid being sent to Kevin's house because of the slaughter.
I don't think crickets have a newsletter, but if there was one.
Yes.
And they make so much noise, and each one can make enough noise to break glass, and it's just ridiculous. So I had an exterminator come out and spray.
That should take care of it.
That'll take care of it, he said. You should see some dead crickets within a couple of hours. I was like, fantastic.
Okay.
Last night, bigger cricket maybe than I've ever seen. Maybe it was the Godfather cricket. I don't know. I think they're getting bigger and stronger.
Oh, dear God.
I think they're breeding amongst just the strong. Only the strongest survive. And now they are, you know, the size of a small cat. And that doesn't make me happy. That's not good. So I have the exterminator coming back out. Do you mind if I just call for a second? Because I'm a little sidetracked today. If I call the house and make sure the exterminators
sure,
are there.
Sure, of course.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Find out what's going on. Alex, you got the crickets too? Is that why you're here? You got
don't
the same problem?
Don't even get me started. Don't.
Really?
Even. It's the worst ever. And
I'll dial again in a minute.
Well, no.
Go ahead.
No, at first, you know, I've always heard, oh, crickets are good luck. So
good luck, yeah.
We had one little cricket. And I was like, oh, we can't kill it. It's good luck. Yay. Okay. And then, like Kevin said, they suddenly realize, oh, there's this great place and you can come hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one cricket, and then two, and then literally we walked into the kitchen, there were like eight crickets.
Carrying
just
off
chilling.
A cheesecake.
So I started Googling like an idiot, trying to become a cricket expert, and apparently they love the cold, and they're coming in because they're cold.
It has been really cold.
Yeah. Screw you, get outside. I don't want you in my house.
You're an outside cricket.
We went to Home Depot, and we bought this stuff called Ortho Max. Like,
yeah,
you know, right?
It says Max
it
on the
says
bottle.
You're only supposed to use it like three times a year.
Right.
Spray it everywhere. We did. We've gone through an entire bottle in a month and a half.
Yeah.
And no
is it
deaths?
Working?
Well, you're
not
drinking
so
it, Alex. That's the problem with you.
I'm convinced it's nothing but water.
I think they're bionic. I think they've progressed to the next level of cricket.
I literally sprayed on a cricket and it jumped away like, whatever, lady. Like, you're crazy.
Wow.
Alex,
and they're huge.
Maybe you can knit them some little cricket sweaters so that they'll stay outside. They won't come to your house.
And they've got those long antennas now that reach out like 3 feet in front of them.
We literally tried to cover one with a cup and the cup was not big enough. It's like legs were sticking out.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling
I've never
you.
I've seen crickets that size.
All right, let's call Kevin's house, see if the exterminator got the job done, because apparently there's trouble at paradise. Why do I hear music and the phone hasn't
hello?
Picked up yet?
This is Kevin from K-Rock. Did I dial the wrong number? I was looking for my...
Oh, it's you. Are you the candy ass that owns this house?
Well, is this the exterminator? Who's answering the phone here?
You're talking to General Jack Sixpack. I'm the cricket.
What?
I'm running things over here.
You're running things at my house?
Yeah. In case you haven't noticed lately.
I've noticed.
You're the bitch that puts out all the nice food for us, has a nice warm house. That's real nice over here, asshole.
Wow. We had an exterminator come over. What?
I ate him. He was a bitch.
You
didn't meet me and my friends. You may have won a couple battles, killing a couple of us with your little weak phrase. You'll never win the war.
I did notice that the bigger ones were coming out now.
That's right. I got all my friends over here. We're doing just fine. Just fine. That exterminator, he's going home in a body bag.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Yeah, Jake, get the door.
What now? Oh,
the pizzas are here? Great.
Pizzas?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, you left a credit card. Might as well order up a meal, little bitch.
Hey, General, what's all that? Are you playing Kevin's records, or what's all that noise in the background?
What's going on over here? I used to know those guys back when I got out of NAM. I was in the Hell's Angels and Chatsworth chapter.
What are you talking about?
I went to a couple of shows, you know. So, yeah, we're just having a good time. Snake! Hey, Snake! Yeah, get the door.
Who's Snake?
That's my buddy.
Oh.
Oh, the hookers are here. Fantastic.
What are you talking
about?
Nothing
like a couple grade A San Fernando Valley cricket hookers come over here. You hit it right on the nose. You said we were reproducing, humping like rabbits.
Yeah.
I'm steady humping, brother. You think we're rubbing legs making that noise? I'm rubbing my third leg.
Oh, dear God. I wanted to ask you about that because Kevin doesn't believe you can possibly make that much noise by rubbing your legs together. Would you mind demonstrating that for us, General?
Squeak, squeak, bitch.
See, he finds it funny.
He's mocking you,
it's
Kevin.
Not funny.
What are you going to do?
Not funny for you.
It isn't.
I really like your place. You got that mega theater downstairs. Go ahead and watch myself a little.
The 16
Rachel
Plex?
Ray, yeah. Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sorry, did you say Rachel Ray?
Love that show.
That's weird.
Wow, that is odd.
I wouldn't have predicted that at all.
My friend Omar hates that, but man, I love that show.
You have a cricket friend?
Oh, yeah. He's a cricket. He always brings over the best cricket blow.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that why you're so roided out?
Shut up, bitch!
24 hours?
Shut up, bitch! We just left your house.
All right, listen, General, we're almost out of time. But I have to ask you this. What kind of deal can we work out here? How can we get you to leave Kevin's house? What's going to be required to make that happen?
All right. Let me confer with my cricket friends.
Just neighbor's house or something. I don't care.
422 Metallica tickets. We're out of here.
You can't use a concert ticket.
What? I used to do head of security for Metallica. What do you mean not use a concert ticket? You kidding me? Can't use a concert ticket. I was firing the 50 caliber out of a Huey. Summer of 70, straight from the rice paddy.
You don't
know anything about anything. It was hell. Then I get back here, and they spit on me.
Hey, General.
Baby killer.
All right, you're not making any sense.
Give me a goddamn concert ticket. Right. I'll leave your nice home alone.
All right, I'll move.
All right, go ahead.
It's the Garmin mix, apparently, of that song on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7.
Owls recording music these days.
AeroQ. Hey, I know that Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer has battled all the bad people in the world for the past six seasons on The 24.
He's only had six bad days. He doesn't do that much fighting, really.
Not that much.
You think about it. Just
That's
six,
interesting when you
he's
think
only
about
fought
it.
Six yeah. days.
I've had six bad days.
He's had an entire career, and he's really worked 6 days. Out of
that
career.
It's interesting when you put it that way.
I'd like his schedule. I would like his schedule.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd like to work 6 days out of like a six-year career. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, Kiefer Sutherland is going to join us just after 8, and he's going to face his biggest enemy yet because apparently Nicole Alvarez is coming in to start stalking him officially.
Oh, no. Yeah, I saw that email.
He's going to have to like shake her off his leg or whatever is necessary.
Can you imagine what it takes to get Nicole Alvarez out of bed before noon?
I know.
What sort of passion she must have.
Yeah, I know.
For Kiefer Sutherland.
Mm-hmm. That's what's scary. We got to have Charles in here.
She's here and sober, as far as I can tell.
Wow. Nope. She must be excited.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
She's already here?
She's eager to impress. Oh, yeah. She came in about a half an hour ago. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
She just stayed up.
She must love herself to Kiefer. That's all there is to it. Anyway, that's going to be a very exciting 8 o'clock hour coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Friday. What are you talking about?
I want to give you a heads up. If you are a B-Boys fan...
You're just going to let that hang until someone says it?
Absolutely.
All right.
You're going to want to check out this art exhibit that's going on starting today at Gallery 1988 in Los Angeles. It's on Melrose Avenue, just off of La Brea at 7020 Melrose. And they have hundreds of pieces of artwork that are all inspired by the Beastie Boys and their music. If you're a Beastie fan, this is an amazing event. You're going to want to check it out. You can go to gallery1988.com for more information. But it's an incredible collection of work. Some really great artists doing some really great work, all inspired by the Beasties and their songs. So if you're a Beastie Boys fan, you should definitely check it out. It's on until January the 29th. You can check it out. I did not buy anything yet, no. I know several members of the K-Rock family here have purchased.
I got a piece yesterday.
You got a piece? What'd you get?
I did. I got the Funky Monkey.
Funky Monkey? Is it a, what's it? Because there are different kinds of art. They've got posters, they've got prints, they've got paintings, they have sculptures, toys, plushes.
This one is a painting. There were several paintings inspired by the Brass Monkey, and this one was my favorite, and I love the monkeys anyway, so I got that one. It is a great collection, though, and I got to concur with Ralph. You ought to check it out at that gallery.
Do you pull a string on the back of the artwork, and then it goes,
I got me a monkey.
Did it do that?
If it did. This gallery, 1980, it's an amazing art, not a museum, art, what do you call it? Gallery. I guess. In general, they always do their yearly cult film art exhibit that Kevin Smith comes in and talks about from time to time. And just all year long, they've got really interesting pieces of work there. So, once again, check them out. 7020 Melrose Avenue, Gallery 1980.com. Does it count if I get it out and then you hit it?
I don't think so. I think I blew it.
Well, that's what you said. It's a new year. Got a lot of rust on you. Ah! Speaking of music, Pearl Jam is calling your cell phone.
What?
Answer it. Apparently the band is offering up one new track a week from their upcoming remastered edition of their debut album, 10, for the next 10 weeks. Exclusively through Verizon Wireless.
Okay.
Okay.
Also, Verizon Wireless will have a bunch of new Pearl Jam ringtones, ringback tones, and ringback jukeboxes for your purchase enjoyment. What's a ringback jukebox? What is that?
I don't.
It must be rotating songs.
I don't know.
I can't imagine.
Do you, when you call someone, do you get to,
you have to put it in a quarter.
Choose? You get to choose what song you want to listen to while you're waiting for them to pick up? Amy Winehouse has got troubles. According to Uma.com, she's on a hit list. Now, Uma.com apparently is a Islamic extremist site, and they asked their viewers on the internet to give them the list of the top 10 Jews they should put a hit on.
Wow.
Really? And Amy apparently made the list. Apparently also on the list is Mark Ronson, her producer, who's also Jewish. So, good times over there at Uma.com. Sandra Bullock may be back in the driver's seat for another sequel to Speed. Another Speed movie. Finally. They're getting around to doing Speed 3.
When was...
Or have they done Speed 3?
Already? Speed 2 or 3? Or whatever.
Speed 2 is with Jason Patrick.
Boat, right?
Yeah. Keanu Reeves begged off of Speed 2. They did it on a boat. Jason Patrick was the male lead in that, along with Sandra Bullock. But apparently the producers are trying to talk Sandra into coming back for a third Speed movie and have Keanu Reeves join her.
I don't think any of that is necessary.
You're not ready for the third Speed movie?
No, I am not.
I don't think so either.
Pop quiz! Remember Dennis Hopper in the first one?
Oh, yeah.
He was great.
He was good.
He's a good bad guy. Fergie and Josh Duhamel are rumored to be tying the knot this weekend. By Monday, we may have a new celebrity couple. Or not.
Or not.
Depending on how that goes. Doesn't always go well. Just ask R. Kelly and his wife. Apparently, Andrea has divorced R. Kelly after 11 years of marriage.
So sad.
No, you can pee on a few teenagers. You can pee on a few teenagers, but you really can push it after you get to 10 or 12.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
I think that's when she draw the line.
Draw the line right there.
And Cam Giganet is getting married. Us Weekly says that the star of Twilight and This Weekend The Unborn is set to marry his longtime girlfriend, Dominique Geisendorf, now that she's pregnant with his child. So, congratulations to Giganet and Geisendorf. Which have been my legal firm for a long, long time.
Thank you, good work.
Good morning, Geisendorf and Giganet. Today's celebrity birthdays, Led Zeppelin's guitarist Jimmy Page is 65 years old today. Singer Dave Matt. Jimmy Page is 65 from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And by the way, we need to figure out a way to stop him from hiring a new lead singer to go out on the road with as Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, that's not right.
That is bogus.
And it's funny, Edge from U2 said that their new album, a lot of his licks on that were inspired from Jimmy Page. Apparently they've been hanging out quite a bit lately. And he said he's amazed at 65 years old how this guy can just still shred.
Yeah, he's great.
Dave Matthews is 42 years old today. Actress Laurie... Nope, not even close. Joey Lauren Adams is 41, and Backstreet Boy A.J. McLean turns 31. However, the reason we celebrate the day, Hathaway celebrates his 44th birthday. Come on, Hathaway.
Unless they can get Hathaway to go out on the road with Led Zeppelin, that I would be down with.
That'd be great.
Is this his only hit?
As far as I know.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Someone had to tell me this morning who Hathaway was, so I'm guessing this is probably it for Hathaway. But happy birthday, Had. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know I didn't mean to.
doing something. That's why I'm going to give him the opportunity of taking it back.
Oh, cut it out!
It's back.
Okay, I'll take it back. I'll take it back.
There. I feel a whole lot better about this.
Now you know what we are, and now you know what you are. You'll never grow old, Michael, and you'll never die. But you must feed.
When the EEG flatlines, the brain's dead, we'll be exploring. Give me 30 seconds, and at 1 minute, Joe, you come in with the defibs, and you bring me back to life.
Stop! Look, if you don't want to take these, that's fine. But you take a message to your guardian. You tell LG Murphy, the regulators are going to clean house. And I mean clean house.
Did you order Lance Corporal Dawson and Private Downey to give Willie Santiago a code red? Lieutenant Kendrick, did
no,
you...
No, I did not.
The following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Kiefer, you got to feel like either you just won an American Film Institute award or somehow you've died and you're at your own funeral right now.
Or someone's trying to explain to me how whiskey and cigarettes have changed my voice over 20 years. My God.
That must be weird.
I've actually never heard my voice chronicled like that. And so to hear it go from, I think the first thing was like Lost Boys and Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been 18 years old, and now I am 42. And,
yeah.
And
I never thought about how low it really is now.
It really did change.
That's well, you're aging poorly, my friend. I got bad news for you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me out.
If whiskey and cigarettes could do that for my voice, I think I might have to do that. Because I've had
we can use a little bit of what you got. That's true.
He's the only one in here with a radio voice.
Yeah, I know.
Kiefer Sutherland is here, of course, with a long and tremendous career. And we perhaps these days know him best as Jack Bauer. Back for a seventh time with an all-new episode, kicking off the all-new season this Saturday night at 8. I guess it's two big hours on Sunday night, 8 to 10 on Fox. I'm sorry, Sunday night, and then two big hours on Monday night. So we got the first 4 hours of the new season of 24. Jack Bauer has more bad days than anyone we know, mm-hmm. and it looks like it's not getting any easier for you, Kiefer.
Well, we just focus on his bad days. I mean, I can certainly say I've had 7 to 8 or 9 or 10 bad days over the course of my life.
But
so
this bad? No.
This bad? No. One of them pretty close, but this bad? No.
Do you remember back at the beginning, I remember talking about this show, 24, and the format that it was going to be, and it was going to be, you know, real time. Each show was going to be an hour, and I remember thinking, wow, that sounds pretty out there. I'm not sure that'll work.
Yeah,
well, I think we all felt the same way. When the writers started, they wrote the pilot, and then the pilot got picked up, and then they were required to write 13 more episodes, so they wrote those, never intending to finish the full 24. And I think when we got picked up for the full season, Joel Surnow and Bob Cochran, who are the creators of the show, kind of looked at each other and went, oh, my God, we're going to have to finish this. And they weren't even sure in real time if that was possible.
Wow.
Because all of the complications, very hard to have a romance on 24 because that has to blossom in an unbelievable circumstance in a very short amount of time.
Right. Sleep.
And we don't shoot in Vegas, so I can't see that happening.
Right.
And having to get from one end of Los Angeles to another. I remember complaining once, going, look, if you're going to do the real time, take it seriously, because there's no way I can get from the valley to downtown Los Angeles in 20 minutes. And as I was saying that, a helicopter came over our soundstage, and they said, that's how you're getting
it. Nice.
So the first season comes out, it's a big hit, and then, God bless them, the writers have to do it again and try to not repeat themselves. And here we are in the seventh season. They must be going crazy trying to figure out. And I guess that's why you have the change in scenery this time around, is because it opens up all new possibilities.
Yeah, and it's a few things. I mean, it's one of the things that we had to kind of accept is there will be certain kind of overlays of circumstances that will create this kind of a day.
There has to be.
Absolutely. And so what I think the writers have done such a fantastic job is in developing the characters that come in and out. There's a constant changing in 24 from one season to the next with the cast. And they create these fantastic human storylines that are the real change from season to season and how those interact and play. And I think they've done a beautiful job with it. But it certainly gets more difficult from one season to the next.
I can't imagine. It's one of those shows, and I've watched all of the episodes. It's one of my favorite shows. But each hour you go, okay, they can't. You can't top that. How do you do another hour like that?
Thank you.
Each hour, it's like that. I can't imagine writing on that show.
Well, we've had an amazing group, and it really is our crew creates visually what they manage to shoot in the time that is allotted is phenomenal. Again, the writers who have the greatest task of our show have pulled through, and as difficult as the circumstances were that surrounded season 7, the writer's strike, and Fox has some programming issues as well. We feel that it is absolutely imperative that we run the episodes contiguously so that there is no interruption from week to week.
That's different. And I mean, that's been getting worse and worse with, yeah, with shows where you go, okay, now I got to take 3 weeks off. Okay, now it's a month and a half.
Well, because there's so many other
shows like that, you can't keep track of.
And there's so many other kinds of programming. And Fox specifically has so much sports, from the World Series to the football playoffs and everything else, that from January to May is really the only slot that we can do this in. And so after the writer's strike, we realized that we were never going to catch up to our schedule to be able to fulfill that slot. So we had to make the very difficult decision to wait a year. And I think as difficult as it was really correct. But it also afforded the writers more time than they've ever had.
Yeah.
And so arguably, we've made the best season ever just because of that. And it'll be the first time, for instance, like you were talking to me earlier, and that we've been able to chat on the phone and do some stuff like that. And this is the first time I could come in. That's really because I'm not working.
You're done with all 24 episodes?
We finally finished all 24 episodes before the first one even airs.
Wow.
And so we weren't up against that kind of pressure of, yeah, I'd like to change this one sequence, but we got to put it on the air in a week and a half, and they have to edit it and do all the music. So we managed to get the whole thing done in a way that I think we're very proud of, and just now finally so excited about getting
now,
it out to people.
Sunday night at from 8 to 10, there's 2 hours. I've watched that. They sent over a DVD. I watched the first 2 hours. And tell us how the season starts so differently than before.
Well, it really starts.
You don't want to give away too much, but
I do remember. It starts off, it really is set up by the prequel. I think Jack Bauer, who started season one with this almost blind ideology for this country and for what his responsibilities were to this country, has really kind of almost done a 180-degree switch. And I think he's very disenfranchised now with some of the things that he's done. I think he's very disenfranchised with this country and what some of the things they've asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he really just wants to be left alone. And so we pick him up in the prequel in Africa, where he is that. And in an effort to save these children, he is brought back by the State Department to face charges of abuse of power.
Jack Bauer? No, come on.
And
he's a by the book kind of guy.
He is.
Abuse
actually.
Of power, please.
Most of the really terrible things that Jack Bauer has done over the course of the 7 years have been ordered either by the President of the United States or have been through circumstances of a president that was acting completely illegal.
Right.
Lee. And anyways, he has great contempt for the Senate. Where we start on Sunday night is he is being charged with these crimes by a Senate investigation. And he has a moment to reply to these charges. And he treats them with a kind of contempt that certainly from the character's perspective, I think he was right. But also within those first four episodes, you start to see this kind of duality, which is, again, what I think the writers do so well. Yes, he has contempt for the Senate investigation, and he'll treat them like that. But on a very personal level, he has great doubts and questions about things he's done and the way he's done them and whether he should have ever been put in that place to do this because he might not have been the right guy.
Right.
And so this kind of conflict and this questioning of oneself is really something I think very different for Jack Bauer in this season than in the previous six.
How much influence, I don't know for a fact, but I could imagine that a lot of the questioning has to do, especially in this time, with torture.
Absolutely.
How much of that do you hear? How much is that a big problem? And are they trying to address it this way?
No, absolutely. It became certainly through season five and through season six. You know, we've always used torture. We have to remember we're making a television show.
Right.
And we're using torture as a dramatic device to show you how urgent a situation is, how desperate this moment is. And at some point, it obviously, with the things that happened in Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, what was kind of a fantastical reality on our television show started to be compared and morphed into things that were happening in the real world.
So the real world grew more like 24,
well,
right, which is scary.
Unfortunately, on a lot of levels. I mean, when you
wait
take a
look
at
Jack Bauer in a naked pyramid in episode 8. I mean, that's wild. Do you ever get any complaints from conservatives who say, hey, why do you always paint the U.S. government as being filled with so many bad, evil people doing bad, evil things around the world, Kiefer?
Well, I think we've done a very fair and balanced job because we've also had amazing people. I mean, President David Palmer was this president that was just you could always rely on doing the right thing. And so I think it was our show, I believe, has been really balanced. I think when you have people from Bill and Hillary Clinton championing the show, and then you have Rush Limbaugh on the other end championing the show, I think that at least speaks to a kind of balance, and that people can politicize the show if they choose to,
right,
from whatever perspective they want.
And most of the time they do, but yeah, you just try to let them do that.
Yeah, and because the reality is it's a television show and we're moving forward. But because the torture debate and 24 was linked to that debate,
yeah,
as a part of this country's zeitgeist or whatever, it was obvious for us that this is something that we should debate on our show. And Jack Bauer's point of view, certainly from the very beginning, is that his responsibility was to save 45 people on a bus, and that's right, all he's going to do.
Right.
And he'll do what it takes.
And he'll do what it takes to do that. But he also, on a very private moment later, questions that tactic, and maybe because he feels that way, he should not be the guy who's asked to do this.
You talk about how the world has changed to reflect more of what it's like in the 24 world. How about President Palmer, by the way? Who would have ever thought when that happened on your show that within a couple of years we'd have a real live black president in the United States? I mean, that was so bizarre the way that happened.
Yeah, I certainly don't think one has anything to do with the other.
I don't either. I think, but it's just
take credit for it, dude.
But I don't want to take credit for that, because then we'll have to take credit for some other terrible things that have happened. I mean,
sure,
when you think of 24 was written almost a year before the terrible events of 9/11, and we had shot 8 episodes when that terrible day came.
Mm-hmm.
And literally all of us thought, I mean, none of us wanted to work on the show. We thought doing a show, and that 3-week period was, I think, so unique for everybody. But
yeah,
all of us just felt so stupid what we were doing for a living.
It was sort of a bummer time, and you didn't want to go back.
It was more than that. I mean, you all of a sudden saw what was real, and all of a sudden firefighters and doctors and nurses and all of these people that rallied from around the country and came to this one spot to help. And here you are sitting there as an actor and you feel like such a tool.
Since you're making terrorism into entertainment also, which had to be that you thought, like, how can we be doing this?
Well, right? we were taking really something out of the imagination of these two writers and making this extreme circumstance, which unfortunately happened.
Yeah.
And so I remember I was walking around, and we were down for about 2 weeks, and I was walking around Santa Monica. And at that point, I wasn't living in LA. So I was in a hotel, and I was walking down the street, and this guy looked up and said, "Man, I can't wait to see your show." And I looked at him like he was from another planet. I was like, "Aren't you aware of what's going on?" And da da da. And he said, "Yeah, that's exactly why I can't wait to see your show." And he didn't mean because it was reflective of anything that was going on. And I realized that at some point, whether you're providing dramatic entertainment, comedic entertainment, music, anything, there is a point where the human psyche has to step out of its own reality and experience something different. And so, in that kind of vein, we all went back to work and just focused on what we had to do.
That's why we consider what we do life-saving. Right? Do I speak for both of us, Bean?
Absolutely. All right.
I'm going to pay for that one, too.
We need to take a quick break. Kiefer Sutherland is here. It is fascinating, by the way, to hear you talk about 24, because you've been so close to it for so long, and it's interesting you've had the opportunity to give so much thought to it. And I'm really enjoying hearing your perspective on this, Kiefer.
Thanks a lot.
We have a bunch of other stuff we want to talk about in addition to the return of 24 this Sunday night on Fox. Kiefer has a record label, for instance, including some music that we're playing here on K-Rock. We want to get into it, and some other stuff right after this on the world famous
Kiefer Sutherland is in the studio with us. 24 comes back Sunday night at 8, and then Monday night at 8. 4 hours of 24.
Wow.
Which is, it's like heaven for 24 fans that have had to wait for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kiefer, are you surprised that 24 is still on 7 seasons in? Is this what you expected when you signed up for the gig?
No, absolutely not. I think all of us were surprised. The writers, our crew, everything. I think Fox really did a bold thing. As you were saying earlier, Kevin, that you didn't know if this real-time thing was going to work. And
right,
I think that they really stuck with it. And if you watch a lot of what's happening in television now, because it's gotten so expensive to make and advertising revenues are actually going down, shows are given maybe 2 or 3 weeks to work or they're pulled.
At best, yeah. And it's ridiculous.
And most of the time. And I don't know how you get something going like that. And Fox really stayed with us for a long time till it kind of started to pick up. And the reality is the show actually broke in England.
Is that right?
Before it did in the U.S. We opened them at the same time, and it kind of caught on there quicker. And then vis-a-vis the internet, we've kind of found our way here. So no, we were shocked. And but one of the funny things as an actor, I think the scariest thing about signing that contract to do a show is that if it doesn't go, they can fire you whenever you want. And if it does go, they've got you.
You're trapped, you know,
for 7 years.
Yes.
And so I couldn't imagine what it would be like to play a character for that long, and I just thought it would be the most boring thing on the planet, and which was really arrogant of me, because the character continually evolves,
yeah.
And it's been one of the great acting lessons of my life. Instead of focusing on three or four big changes that one would make from one film to another, you know, because it is the same character, you're forced to focus on maybe 16 to 20 small changes that you would make
right.
in their attitude over a period of 7 years. And that's been an unbelievable challenge.
And Jack Bauer is rogue now. There is no more CTU, right? And he's kind of a free agent out there, just trying not to do anything, but once again being pulled back in and forced to save America, right?
Well, he's certainly forced to work with a few people that are trying to do the same. I think one of the things that's interesting about the storyline with this season, and not that, you know, and again, I'll go back to the internet, and not that we would obviously listen to every single thing a fan says.
Right.
But when you start to see a large number of people saying, you know, please don't blow up the world again with another, you know, another bomb or
nuclear bomb.
Yeah. And the storyline kind of got much more focused and was brought down really towards people. So the action, it started to feel a lot more like season one, where my responsibilities were to protect Senator Palmer and my family, and that was it.
Right.
So we really tried to kind of bring some of that feeling back to this season.
For those of you that need a little catching up, I put together a little montage that I think will catch you up before Sunday night's 24. Here you go. Should I keep going, or do you think people get the joke?
No, I think I got it.
No, I'm good.
You guys have time on your hands.
Kiefer, how is it possible that what I saw on my TV the other day is true, that Tony Almeida is alive? How is that possible?
It was the same thing I said when the writers thought that it was a great idea. And what they had, they pulled out every script from season five on and showed me how it was possible. And it's really clever. It's also not something that we address in a very heavy way. He's back, and it's it.
It's hard for you to believe for a while, and then they convince you because of DNA testing and whatever.
And a couple things, and then you move on.
Right.
But you threaten to kill him and make it work this time, to make it stick. You're not coming back next time if I kill you again, right?
You might find that line in the show.
Oh, good. Excellent. and the return of the lovely Chloe on this weekend's episodes, too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, no, it's I think this season, and again, one of the most difficult things working on the show is you develop these fantastic relationships with actors. And I think we've killed more actors than Cecil B. DeMille.
Probably, yeah. You're right. That's probably true.
How about Kim and or the Mountain Lion? Are we going to see either of them?
Well, we used to call that the storyline that was so bad it bit her. And the truth is, it really did bite her. I think she took like 17 stitches in her hand.
Oh, good.
She went to pet it, and she had been eating Cheetos or something like that, and the cougar wanted one.
Wow.
Probably hot Cheetos.
Cougar wants, it gets.
Speaking of cougars, what about the FBI agent that you work with this season? She's pretty hot.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing. And
what do you want to know exactly?
There was no question there.
Her name is Annie Wershing.
Her phone number.
And I don't have that.
Okay.
But she's an amazing actor. And again, just because we're filming while things are being written,
mm-hmm.
It was really interesting for me to watch the writers, because no one knew her. I mean, she came in and did an audition. This was not someone that was hired based on film that we had seen or something else. John Cassar had worked with her before on a pilot that did not get picked up, and said, this is an amazing actress. And so she came in to do the part, and a few episodes in, they would write something different for her, and she would blow it away. And soon, at one point, it was like, oh, my God, this is the Annie Wershing show now. And she's just done such a beautiful job with it. And the new cast is phenomenal. I mean, we've got John Voight.
He's so scary, isn't he? And you can tell the dude is just
he's the best.
Evil to the core. He's such a good actor.
And he's fantastic in this part. And then we have Cherry Jones, who plays the president, and so many others. And she was one of my favorite Broadway actors or theater actors, and has also done unbelievable film work from Aaron Brockovich down the line. And to have her on the show has been... That was one of the few people that when I first started working with scared me. Well, we work at such a fast pace, and there's always four or five directions a scene can go in, and you just were praying, please, on this day, make it be the right one so that we can look like we know what we're doing. But
I like that
amazing.
She plays a woman president, because at least that keeps the fantasy angle alive on your show, because you don't want it to be too realistic.
It's going to happen one day. But one of the interesting things is, as how it does affect the show, is, you know, I think that point of view specifically has challenged whether or not a woman... I mean, certainly when you saw through the entire campaign, when John McCain questioned her ability to answer the bat phone and do what was needed, that is something that is dealt with within the context of our show. And look, let's face it, there is a difference between men and women, and it's interesting to see what a female perspective might deal with in these certain situations. So it's certainly interesting watching.
Sure. All right. We have to take another break. We have one more segment with Mr. Sutherland, and we're going to give you the opportunity to call in and talk to Jack Bauer yourself. If you've got 24 questions or questions for Kiefer, we are going to invite those at 1-800-520-1067.
Oh,
and
cool.
We also, don't let us forget, we definitely want to talk about your band, too, that we're playing here on K-Rock, because we're very excited about that, too, Kiefer. All of that, including your calls, when we return right after this in the world-famous K-Rock. Star 24, Mr. Kiefer Sutherland in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock. Don't forget, Sunday night at 8, the first 2 hours of the season number 7. I know you're a big rock and roll fan, Kiefer. You're probably loving that Kings of Leon song right there.
Yes, I was.
How did it happen for you that you ended up owning or being involved in a record label? What's that deal?
One of my dearest friends, a guy named Jude Cole, is a fantastic singer-songwriter, really just writes now and is a producer and we just started seeing a lot of fantastic bands that weren't getting signed by major labels. And the music industry went through this massive downsizing shift. And we saw all these fantastic bands that were out there that no one was getting to hear, that weren't being able to make records. And we realized we could put together a studio pretty quickly and help some of these bands out. And we also watched other smaller labels all around the country doing the same thing. So that instead of having five major labels, you would have 500 small, tiny labels with three or four bands apiece.
Right.
And this thing that I call the rock and roll industry would kind of resurrect itself. I think there's been, for a variety of reasons, a real lack of cohesion and direction musically. And I think that's mainly a product of our inability to get music out there. And I think slowly it's getting better. I think... obviously, radio is the main way to distribute new music, but other ways are being found through the internet and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I find it amazing to see a band like My Morning Jacket, who sells you know, less than 200,000 records, can sell out the Gardens for two nights.
Yeah,
So I'm seeing this kind of shift start to turn around, where we're going back to almost what was happening, which was really exciting in the '60s. Where bands were going to be found because of their live playing, and then the desire for their recorded material is going to follow that.
Now, I remember when we spoke with you, and I think we played a little bit on K-Rock, the Rocco DeLuca song, which was great, and it was a great album, too. It's still one that I listen to from time to time. And now you're back on K-Rock with a song that Kat is playing on the Locals Only show from an artist named Billy Boy.
Billy Boy on Poison.
What's the deal with that? And then we'll play a little bit of it before we go to your phone calls.
This band, I mean, we've got, musically, our label has quite a nice cross section, but I think this band represented kind of what I got excited about the label for, which was to have a rock and roll band that would make you want to fark or fight. and so they were definitely this band, and my partner Jude was the first person to see them. And he saw them play live, and he called me in the middle of the night. I had to be up very early for 24. He called me, woke me up.
Did you say, said, do you know what time it is?
Do you know what time it is? And he said, yes, I do. It's almost 1 o'clock, and I just saw this band, and we have to sign them. And I've never heard him that excited. I mean, he's the steady one. Right. I'm the one who does that. And and so I said, then absolutely, I'm going back to bed. And then he took me to a show about a week later. And I hadn't seen a band enjoy playing like this. These are not shoegazers. They reminded me of early Bowie, T-Rex, Iggy Pop. They will eat the scenery on their stage, and then they'll eat you in the audience at the same time. And I missed that from rock and roll. Yeah. I missed they were there to have a great time and make you have a great time. And you see that with the Flaming Lips, and there's an entity of that's coming back. Right. And so this band was just, and then musically, there's not a bad track on the album. I love
the album is out now and available for download? Not yet?
Not yet. The album will probably be coming out around March.
Okay.
But we just finished the video for them, and we've got them on small, like radio promo tours and things like that. And for us, we have to take things kind of slower than I think most just because we're paying for it.
Yeah. Right.
And so, we have to kind of do a job, get them out. Do a job, get them out.
Yeah.
But it's something that we're terribly, terribly excited about.
Let's hear a little piece of the band we're talking about with Kiefer Sutherland. It's called Billy Boy on Poison, and I think this song is called On My Way. I'm naked to your bedroom, honey. I can make you wet. Hey, if it's love that you want from me. No way. I'm just a boy with a melody.
Love that.
Cheers.
Producer Alex just texted me to say it sounds a little bit like the band Jet that was so popular a couple years ago. I can see a little rock and tours in there,
yeah,
maybe, too.
I mean, you can go from Jet to even the Black Crowes.
Sure.
And then, again, the album obviously has different arcs in it. But it's just, again, it's a guitar riff record, which is what I always kind of reacted to. And it didn't matter for me when I was growing up whether it was Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, or AC/DC, which are vastly different bands even within heavy metal.
Right, right.
But those, any kind of guitar lick that can hook you like that, I don't know, made the drive faster, made the night better. And
sounds like something Jack Bauer would have on his iPod, by the way.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that. Just as you brought that up, I have no idea what music Jack Bauer would listen to. I don't know if he does.
All right. The band is called Billy Boy on Poison, if you want to check it out. And you can find it, of course, online, and the album will be out in March. Let's take some phone calls for Kiefer Sutherland on our remaining moments, 1-800-520-1067. We'll squeeze in as many as we have time for, which unfortunately is not much time. But the best call, so Kevin, please put him on hold afterwards. The best call is going to win a special collector set of all six seasons of 24, along with a special redemption movie that they put on between 6 and 7, and also a Jack Bauer bomber jacket, all beautifully presented in a special briefcase. So if you're a big 24 fan, this is an awesome prize. So call with a great question for Mr. Sutherland.
All right, let's begin with Dennis in Los Angeles. Good morning. Oops, sorry, I went to the wrong line. Hold on. Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, Kiefer, long-time fan. I just wanted to know what was the difference between shooting the normal series and the Redemption episode?
Well, primarily we shot, I obviously shot my whole part in Africa, and I think, so between the visual excitement of actually being able to be in different places, we shot in Africa, we shot in Washington, and then we made up some shots here in Los Angeles. To be able to travel and actually be on those locations made a huge difference. But I think for the writers, again, and everything goes back to the writers, this was one of the first things they got to write that had an end.
And, yeah, that makes sense.
And it was so much easier for them all of a sudden, and they realized that. And so I think when we take a look at maybe if we are in fact going to do another season, that we might want to start with the end and work our way backwards. I think Howard Gordon really did write one of the best pieces of our show.
Do you think, on that topic, hold on, do you think that eventually maybe that'll end up like The X-Files did, which was stop being a TV show and start being a movie?
Well, it's certainly, we've been asked to, but again, to ask the writers to write what is the equivalent of 12 films in a 9-month period and then come up with some fantastic idea for a 2-hour movie is unfair. So we agreed that we would wait until the series was done and then we would approach the idea of a film.
Let's talk to Fred in Marina Del Rey. He is on line 7 this morning. Hi, Fred. You're on the air with Kiefer Sutherland. Go ahead.
Hi, Kiefer. Very, very much a fan of the 24. Do you have a quick question? You know, you seem to be beat up a lot in all the shows. And my question is, how much of this do you actually do? And what happens to your body?
I do the stunt work that I'm allowed to do up until a point where the insurance kicks in and then they ask someone else to. I actually really enjoy the physical work, but obviously we have a team of stuntmen that are phenomenal. The most difficult thing, though, it's actually a cool question. As beat up as he gets, I think one of the most difficult things for me as an actor is to chart, kind of in an effort to make it believable,
yes,
that this guy can still walk around, still do this with a broken rib, with a broken thing. And I've broken a rib and I've broken bones before, and I personally cannot move. So that's certainly been a challenge as an actor.
But you're Jack Bauer. Yeah, that's
Jack
the difference
Bauer between you.
You got a real point there, don't you?
Well, you seem to have died like 3 or 4 times.
Twice, actually.
Okay,
twice.
So two.
Yeah.
Sure, and then once in Flatliners, so you got a lot working.
You've died more than Moses. Thank you for the call, Fred.
Yeah,
hang on. This is an email question, by the way. I didn't know this about you, but here's somebody who used to play with you, play ice hockey with you back in the 90s. You used to play a bunch of hockey at the Isoplex. You still have time to do anything like that anymore, Keith?
I still do. There's a great Sunday night pickup game out in El Segundo, and there's another league game, another Isoplex, but in a different area.
Are you a Kings or a Ducks fan?
Or
somebody else,
maybe? Canada.
Well, I grew up in Toronto, so I'm a Maple Leafs fan, which has been unbelievably disappointing for the last 10 years. but no, I'm a Kings or a Ducks fan. I remember I went to see the Ducks play in New Jersey for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, mm-hmm, and it was very clear that everyone in New Jersey knew who I was rooting for.
Yeah.
And
they gave you a hard time for it.
I got... Yes, they gave me a hard time for it. I ended up walking out of there with pieces of everybody else's lunch, dinner, and beverage choice.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Kiefer, you'll never talk to people who know more what you're talking about than we do, because we were at the Kings Canadians Game 7 in Montreal one year.
Uh-huh.
And we know exactly what you're talking about.
When they won it and rioted, and Bean was going, Kings fan right here, Kings fan.
Oh, that was scary. Right, let's squeeze in a couple more real quick, and then we are out of time with Kiefer. Andy is in Westlake Village. He is on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andy, go ahead. You're on with Kiefer.
Hi, Kiefer, a longtime 24 fan.
Thank you.
You know, I've been watching it ever since it's been on, and I've never seen Jack Bauer eat or drink. And
there's no time. What's wrong with you?
Sleep.
He has actually in season 1. I believe no, because I'm ready for this one.
You had a meal
in season one. He fell asleep trying to guard the woman in the construction site, and she gets out and rats on him, and so he did pass out there. And then in season 2, he was actually arrested and was being interrogated. And when you start the scene, you'll see him eating kind of one of those TV dinner meals.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of small meals.
A couple of small meals.
All right.
And then in all fairness, there was a scene that I knew time-wise there was going to be about a 5-minute break. So I had to do was walk into the building, and there happened to be a restroom right there. And I walked into the restroom, and they cut it out. Because they didn't, they thought that it would come off as a joke.
But
so I've tried for you, man. I've tried.
You try to work it in, but there's just no time.
All right. Who do you like for the grand prize here, Kevin?
Do you perform your own stunts? Never eaten or taken a drink on 24? What was the other one? We're about shooting Redemption, where you shot it. I think those were the 3 questions that we had.
Kiefer, you choose which one you like. Which
I'm
one
not
going to
do that. If I could, I'll make a phone call and try and work it out and give one to everyone.
Well, that's fine with us.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to do that,
yeah.
Okay, fantastic. We'll give the set to all 3.
Excellent.
And call Kiefer if they don't show up.
Exactly. Well, it's been a thrill having you in, Kiefer. I really mean that.
It's so nice to actually be able to come in and not do it over the phone. And what a pleasure. And to be able to actually talk to people on the phone. We never get a chance to do that. And,
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're kind of in your own little bubble. You don't get the feedback directly, right?
Out in Chatsworth, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Sunday night at 8 to 10 and Monday night from 8 to 10.
Yes.
Season 7 begins. Kiefer Sutherland, thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
It is 8:56 now, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Once again, I want to give you a heads up to Beastie Boy fans, if you're so inclined. There is a brand new exhibit of art influenced
and dedicated to the Beastie Boys and their songs, opening today at Gallery 1988, which is located on Melrose, just off of La Brea. It's at 7020 Melrose Avenue in Hollywood. Runs through January 29th, and it is a collection of art. As I mentioned, it's all been influenced by the Beasties and their music over the years. Called Under the Influence, the official art tribute to the Beastie Boys. Check it out if you're a Beastie Boys fan, and a lot of the items are up for sale, although they're going quickly, because yeah. Bean is buying most of them, so make sure.
That's not true. I just bought the one.
Get a chance before Bean has to ruin it for everyone. You can go down and buy something, too. Britney Spears is having a hard time dealing with the conservatorship of her life by her father.
That's not over yet?
Jamie Spears. No. Hmm. You know, it's permanent now, till further notice.
Oh, wow.
They've had their final...
I didn't realize that.
Final hearing, and he has been made her official conservator. Conservator, I guess you would call him.
So then is she going to have to go back...
Be pissed.
Is she going to have to go back to court and prove that she can do it? Or?
When the time comes they want to change that arrangement, there will have to be another hearing, yes. But it was temporary, now has been made permanent. And he is pulling no punches when it comes to keeping her away from people that he believes are unsavory in her life. Apparently, according to Star Magazine, Jamie caught secretly texting a former flame. And it doesn't identify which one it is here.
A former flame.
So it's got to be either Adnan Galib, thinking, or Federline.
Could be that
Sand Lutkin. Oh, maybe that Sand Lutkin. Yeah. Anyway, he confiscated her cell phone and then deleted her list of contacts.
Jeez.
And she is 11, right? She's 11 years old?
Wow. Pretty much. A friend tells Star Magazine, Britney has zero freedom now.
Wow.
But it seems to be working for her. Her life's never been better.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So maybe she needs zero freedom. And then she can go on MTV and cry a lot. Tell us how rough it is to be her. Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey are sleeping together.
Nope.
Nope.
Well, that's the fear, according to In Touch magazine, that both Michelle Obama and Stedman Graham are sharing. Rumor has it they are jealous of the close relationship Oprah and Barack have. And there's some concerns there.
I have a feeling that close relationship is really in Oprah's head, by the way.
Me too.
I've got an idea that Barack just had like a candy bar in his pocket.
And that's the tie-in?
And she's just all over him. She can smell it like a golden retriever. She could just sense he had candy, and so she just won't let him out of her sight.
I'm so fat.
There's a potential that there may be something chocolatey.
I don't believe Oprah is on the president-elect's radar at all, to tell you the truth.
I think she's throwing a party for him for the inauguration, I believe.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, with the Hollywood connection. You know, to have those people show up. But that may be the extent of it.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
Oh, come on.
That's Barack.
Donnie Martin. Not Donnie Martin. Donna Martin. Maybe returning to 90210. TV Guide says that Tori Spelling is all set to sign a deal to return to Beverly Hills 90210, the brand new edition, along with Jason Priestley and Jenny Garth, who currently star on the revamped show. Tori was holding out. Cold medicine's fun.
What's happening to names?
Cold medicine is fun.
You on some NyQuil today?
NyQuil, DayQuil, whatever you got. DuskQuil, DawnQuil, anytime Quill.
NewQuil.
Yeah. Tori was holding out because the show's producers apparently weren't coughing up enough cash, but apparently they're going to give her what she wants, and she's going to come on the show and show us that gaping chasm between her bosoms.
Oh.
That's not good.
Worst cleavage in show business.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's nightmarish.
There should be a lawsuit there is all I'm saying.
From us to her. Yes. Stop showing your boobs. Class action lawsuit. The damage done. Today's celebrity birthdays. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 65 years old today. Singer Dave Matthews turns 42. Actress Joey Lauren Adams, star of Chasing Amy. I love that movie.
Yeah.
41 years old. And Backstreet Boy AJ McClain turns 31. Hathaway celebrates his 44th birthday. What is love?
Baby, don't hurt. Can't hear this without doing the head motion, can you?
No, you have to.
Do you remember how excited Kevin was about this movie?
How dare you?
When they were making Night at the Roxbury, he was Paul Blart excited about this film. He could not wait to go see it. And I think it turned out to be exactly what Paul Blart Mall Cop will turn out to be.
How dare you?
Which was horrible.
Instant
There's
going
to be some sort of a movie off is being discussed here on the show, Ralph, where Kevin needs to go see Hotel for Dogs and Lisa needs to go see Paul Blart Mall Cop, and then they decide which one is worse.
What movie does she have to go see?
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Oh, that movie.
Paul Blart Mall Cop. Too many many vowels in that sentence for me to pronounce. Come on.
As I was barely conscious yesterday, fighting off my fever, I was watching Regis and Kelly, and they had Kevin James on.
Oh.
To talk about Paul Blart Mall Cop.
And he turned you around?
Regis Philbin was incapable of saying Paul Blart Mall Cop. Could not get it out.
Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
It's kind of tough. Yeah.
And so, the new movie, Paul Blart Mall Cop. Just Kevinizing it. It was awesome. So, that's what made me think of that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks again, of course, to our guest, Kiefer Sutherland, for stopping by. I think by now, if you're listening, you know that 24 returns this Sunday night for the first hour at 8 o'clock, and then 2 big hours Sunday, 2 big hours Monday.
All right. Mike and I will see you tomorrow night at the hockey game at the Kings. We're doing a tailgate thing.
All right.
We'll see you then this afternoon. We're giving away the final Burton snowboard and trip to Telluride.
Oh.
So that's this afternoon between 5 and 6. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. And then Monday, good stuff, I'll tell you.
Yeah, we got that guy coming on, right?
But the dude, sure.
The thing. Yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Love it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I smoke a lot of pot.
Roll another.
Does anybody have any drugs?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Do you have any marijuana? I might go to buy some.
And I need another hit.
Wait, how did it go with Kiefer trying to get out of the building and get past Nicole Alvarez? Did he make a successful escape?
He needs someone to do his stunts for him today, that's for sure.
Hey, stick around. Cat Corbett's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music next.
Roll another one.
That's not pot.
Just like the other one.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke? What a great pot party.
I don't have another cent.
All right. Are you high? I am.
It's weird hunch he might be high.
Just pass it around.
I wish he wouldn't smoke weed.
Love it.
Lita, remember me as I am, filled with murderous rage.
And that is all.
It didn't go so well.
No, it did not.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Now, are you going to be leaving soon? Because you're kind of harshing everybody's buzz around here.
I'll see you in the morning. Thank you. Good night. Make it work. Carry on. Holler at your boy.
Well, the song ended. That's all.
Okay. Well, that one's not coming back. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde for a Friday afternoon. We always warn you, by the way, that we drink a lot on Friday between the morning show and the afternoon show. So it's a little bit sloppier than usual when we show up here.
Now, what are you going to do? You got to have.
What are you going to do indeed?
You're not going to not drink.
Right.
I'll tell you that.
That's not an option. So.
This is a big weekend, of course, every Friday we look forward to, but particularly this weekend because we have NFL playoff football. The divisional round playoff games are going to be this weekend, and there's no better man to take us through them all than our friend Andrew Siciliano from the Red Zone DirecTV channel, who is on the line with us right now. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Happy New Year. I promise I've not yet begun my drinking.
Oh, wow. Why not?
Good for you.
Andrew, just dawned on me, I don't watch Red Zone during the playoffs. Usually I'm watching the network feeds. Is there a Red Zone during the playoffs?
No, because all the games
are separate, right?
Are played consecutively, right. And they're all on network TV, so...
So you don't do coverage for those?
No, I get to sit on my couch and put my feet up and start that drinking. But oh, wow.
I have to have you come to my house and just give me color commentary while I'm watching it.
That'd be the best.
Bring your table full of remotes and just sit in front of Ralph.
Exactly.
maybe you ought to get Andrew to come over and do play-by-play on whatever happens to be on the other networks at the time. It doesn't matter. It could be Gossip Girl or an infomercial. Mm-hmm. He can be pointed out to you.
Okay. I can do that. I'll stand in front of CNN on one TV, Fox on the other. We'll get, it's Apocalypse Week on the History Channel. Have you
exactly.
been watching that?
Yes.
During a timeout in the game, you could say, Billy Mays putting OxyClean together. He's got some really He's really getting those stains out. Let's go there. Let's cut away to there.
I saw last night that the world is going to end in 2012, so if the Eagles don't do it this year, they're pretty much screwed.
How dare you, sir? Yeah.
Speaking of which, now there's two games Saturday, two games tomorrow, two games Sunday. Tell us about Saturday's games.
All right. First off, it's Baltimore, Tennessee. I think, all due respect to the Eagles and the Giants, that this is the best game of the week.
Really?
Really. Because you have the number one seed in the AFC, which is Tennessee. Remember, they were the last team to lose.
Right,
Jets,
that's right.
Finally beat them, right? They had that great run. Yeah, Baltimore coming in. Baltimore should have beat them, guys. Week five, Baltimore had them beaten, and it was a totally bogus call. They had Terrell Suggs roughing the passer on Kerry Collins.
Yeah,
they said it was
that.
A blow to the head, right?
Yeah. Oh,
but if
right.
you look at the replay, he didn't hit his head. He hit his shoulder pad.
Right.
But the referee was blocked, couldn't see the other side of the shoulder pad, and he threw the flag. It was a flat-out incorrect call. The game should have been over. Baltimore should have beaten Tennessee week five. Their defense is good enough to beat them. I think they're going to win. They're going to win on the road. All right, you're going to like this, Rob. I said last week, I wasn't on with you guys, but I said Ravens-Eagles Super Bowl, and I firmly believe that.
In your bathroom you said that?
In my bathroom.
Yeah.
Speaking to myself, four closed walls.
I'm scared of the Ravens. I'll tell you, their defense is just insane.
Can you imagine the Ravens fans and the Eagles fans together as one or city in Tampa?
It would be a bloodbath.
Can you imagine just the unwashed brawl that would
hang
happen?
Hang on. Hang on, Andy.
Ray Lewis would have to kill some more dudes.
It would be like an MMA convention.
Are you saying... It would be, yeah. Are you saying that actual fans get to the Super Bowl? I don't think so.
Yeah, that rarely happens.
This year, nobody's going. But I think if the Eagles and Ravens make it, they'll hop in their
they'll
car.
Do it. Right.
Andrew, what do you say about Tennessee coming off a week's rest, however? Baltimore's D, although amazing, is up there in age. Could they be feeling some letdown at the end of the season?
Nah, I don't think so. The thing about the injuries to Tennessee is what scares me. They have Kyle VandenBosch banged up. They have Albert Haynesworth banged up. Both of those guys are expected to play. But Kevin Mawai's not going to play. He's the center. He's the guy that gives the ball between his knees to Kerry Collins every snap. And without Kevin Mawai, that
Wait a minute. What does the center do?
I
think Andrew's trying to explain for those who don't follow.
He hopes he doesn't get assaulted by the Ravens.
Yeah,
and
true.
I'm not trying to bring up past legal damages here or court cases. But the Ravens, and I mean this in a good way, they don't tackle you. They assault you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's why they're better than everyone else. Look, I'm a Browns fan. I hate the Ravens. But I think they're going to win. I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
All right, what about Arizona-Carolina? That's the other game on Saturday.
This could be a snoozer. This is a rematch. Anyone from the Amsterdam Admirals? Remember NFL Europe?
No.
Both Kurt Warner and Jake DeLone were quarterbacks together.
Wow.
Amsterdam Admirals. There's only one stat you need to know.
Go Admirals.
And that is, in 2008, when Arizona went to the East Coast, they were 0-5. And in their last 15 games on the East Coast, they are 1-14.
So you're saying you expect them to turn it around and win?
No.
You don't expect that?
No. They will not win. Carolina's too good. They can't do it.
All right,
there's
Sunday.
No way that Arizona runs the football like they did last week against Atlanta. No way.
I don't think there is a person in America, including those who play for the Cardinals, who are picking Arizona to win this game, by the way, Kevin. I think if you really think they're going to win, you are on your own this time.
Oh, I just gave money to Ralph at the beginning of the season for them to win the Super Bowl, so I'd like it to happen, money-wise.
How much money?
Yeah. All right, Sunday's game. How much money? I gave him $20.
Okay.
I remember
going to Vegas. I talked to a sports book and laid it down. I think the odds were like 20-1 or something.
San Diego at Pittsburgh, Sunday.
Fantastic game. Chargers can't win without LaDainian Tomlinson, though. They can't. I'm sorry. Darren Sproles had a great game last week, but Indy's defense is not Pittsburgh's defense. Pittsburgh's defense will punish you. Darren Sproles, guys, is no bigger than me. Seriously.
Wow.
5'6". They say he's 180. I don't know if he plays at that weight. He's listed 5'6", 181. There's no way that he can touch the ball 30 times a game and beat the Steelers on their field. It could be lousy weather in the mud. There's no way. You know what? Do you know what a torn abductor tendon in your groin is?
Ow!
No, but it sounds super painful.
Yeah, that's what LT has.
Yeah,
he's not doing anything. Well, how's Ben Roethlisberger's health, though? Have you heard, Andrew? How's his concussion? How's his head?
Well, they say he's fine, but I don't know what they were dealing with before his concussion.
Yeah, that's true. All right, and then Philadelphia Giants.
Does it scare you that I like the Eagles on this game?
It scares Ralph.
Usually when you do, things don't go well, Andrew. That's all I remember.
Donovan McNabb wasn't sacked in the two games against the Giants this year.
Yeah, I know. That's saying something.
He's playing better than Eli.
Can't you pick the Giants just for Ralph? If you just go with the Giants, that'll help him.
Here's how I would pick the Giants if it snows. They say they could get 8 inches of snow, which of course, when we say eight, we usually mean six. But they say they're going to get snow. Yeah. And if there's a lot of snow and if there's wind, the Eagles can't run the football, guys, consistently. If they have to run it 35 times, they're dead.
All right.
Yeah, the health of the New York running backs, I think, will determine the outcome of this game. Although the Eagles' D against the run, best in the NFC. So.
And Brandon Jacobs is going to play. And, you know, the Eagles' D the last couple of weeks is playing better than the Giants' D.
I know. See, he's still hell of a battle.
He's still leaning on the Eagles, Ralph. I'm telling you. This is not good for you.
Eagles Ravens. That's what he's calling for the Super Bowl. I like it.
I thought you said Eagles Raiders. I was like, wait.
No, Raiders.
In what world? All right, Andrew.
Raiders might be shut down by the time the Super Bowl
is over. I mean, no longer have a franchise.
The rest of the USFL or whatever that arena league is.
The AFL's shut down, actually.
Maybe the Raiders players can go play for the Amsterdam Admirals. All right, our guest has been Andrew Siciliano. Of course, it's too late to help you for this season, but maybe next year you get that red zone going from DirecTV and you get a chance to watch the games the way the good Lord intended. In the meantime, enjoy all the football this weekend. Andrew, great to have you on, man. Have a great weekend.
Fantastic.
Thank you, buddy.
I don't know how I would decide who to give the bailouts to. You know, everybody's got their hand out to Washington right now ever since they started bailing out the banks and bailing out the mortgage companies and bailing out the auto industry. I don't know whose decision it is, but somebody ought to make sure the porn business doesn't go under. I'll tell you that.
That's for sure. Joe Francis and Larry Flint are both claiming the economy has hurt the porn industry and the sex industry, and they are asking for...
Yes.
$5 billion with a B.
Ha, and might I add, ching.
Now, Joe Francis is the guy behind Girls Gone Wild,
yes.
A series of DVDs and websites. Of course, Larry Flint is the creator of the Hustler Empire. And they both say that America just doesn't have the discretionary income that they used to. They're not buying as much porn as they did before. Times were tough. And they want a bailout from Congress. And we thought we'd find out what the deal is directly from the man himself, our friend Larry Flint, in his wheelchair talking to us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Flint.
Good afternoon, Kevin Levine. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Well, it's tough economic times for everybody, including me. So I'm not doing as well as I was.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you're saying that people just don't have the money to spend, or they're just not in the mood because their lives are so bad right now? They're just not they're not getting all horny like they used to, Larry?
Both of those things, I think, are true. You know, people are worried about buying food and paying their rent. They don't have a lot of discretionary income for porn.
Porn is not discretionary, first of all.
I don't essential. Think so either, but it's between food and porn, it's a hard choice to make.
Hard choice.
Right, yeah. And DVD sales are down 22% from a year ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. Now, it's going to be interesting to see the closed-door discussions that go on in Washington where they go, I don't know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Is that one we want to make sure stays alive? I mean, eventually somebody's going to have to decide whether you get help from the government or not.
Well, let's face it. Congress has been doing to this country what we show in movies now for years.
That's true.
The previous administration did us like Randy Spears does Breonna Banks.
So Larry, is this cutting into your business in terms of how you make the movies? Or are you
Absolutely.
Just releasing fewer or what?
No, we have to keep our output the same.
Mm-hmm.
But this economic downturn's been a real shot in the face to us.
I'm sorry, did you
One
say
of the movies, I think.
And so we have to change how we budget for the films, you know. We have to cut back.
Okay.
For instance, we're only hiring old broads now for sex.
Oh, no.
Old ladies past their prime.
No, 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 no.
Like over 30.
No, no.
Oh, Kevin, no, what are no. you going to do?
Because no they don't that. Charge as much to make the movies as the young girls
sure.
do. They're just grateful someone still wants to do them. Sometimes they pay us.
Really? Wow.
If the guys are good enough.
Wow.
So old and fat chicks. That's what we'll be concentrating all our future work on.
Yeah, who can afford the young 18-year-olds anymore?
No, now it's all tons of fun and gilfs.
Wow. Oh, no.
That's granny. I'd like to.
Yeah, I think we get it.
Yeah. We understand. We know the expression.
Yeah. So I think the Congress needs to help us rejuvenate the sexual appetite of America by keeping our porn the best in the world.
Sure.
And I firmly believe USA creates the best pornography in the world. USA.
Not much of a chant.
USA.
It's kind of weak.
USA.
You're not really a chanter.
I'm not so much a chanter, no. But I thought... Oh, this may be the check from the government now. I'm going to walk over to the door and
see if they have
to...
Larry, don't try that. You can't.
Oh, dear God.
I need a bailout for my leg.
Good afternoon, Ralph Garman. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was doing better until Lisa decided to store cold cuts here in the studio. I don't know why she's got it cranked down to 32
Isn't
centigrade.
Isn't that ironic? I never get warm enough?
Yeah.
What's up with you?
We try to keep it cold for very specific reasons.
She's got Tabasco in her pants or something. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
I got great showbiz news. Maybe the best ever.
All right.
Oh.
Best ever story? So best ever single story? Or
best single story ever about the best single program ever.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Billy Mays. You familiar with Billy Mays?
Yep.
You know who Billy Mays is?
He's
the guy who sells the Shamrock. I'm Billy Mays!
He's the infomercial guy. Yes.
OxyClean! Get anything, any stain you have in your fabric, we'll get it out!
Yeah, I'd like him to stop...
OxyClean!
Stop yelling at me. That's what I would like.
He sells
him.
A bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Mighty Putty!
Don't want it.
This putty will hold anything together at any time!
Is he deaf?
I'm Billy Mays!
Is he deaf?
No.
Oh.
He's fresh to death. That's what he is. He's getting his own TV series.
Oh
dear God.
Really?
His own reality show on the Discovery Channel.
And it's going to be him selling stuff?
It's called But Wait, There's More. And Billy Mays is going to travel around the world, find new products, and tell us about them.
Unbelievable.
It's going to be like a weekly series of infomercials. Him finding amazing products and telling us all about them. And then we can order them.
Now, in the infomercials, didn't he or the company have to pay television to run it?
Yes.
So now they're going to pay him?
Yes.
To run this?
Yes.
All right.
He will find quirky new products, evaluate them, and then show us, demonstrate them for us.
And then Ralph will buy them all, as he does now.
I cannot wait for my slap chop. Can't get here soon enough.
You have to bring it in.
I'm going to bring in my slap chop. We're all going to get slapped.
My life is super boring. If I had that slap chop, though, that would be very helpful.
Maybe
would
Vince.
Help
why can't Vince be on that show, too? Vince has to team up with Billy.
No.
Look at my nuts.
That's the other infomercial guy?
It's my favorite line. The Tron sequel has a lead. Disney has announced who will be starring in Tron 2, playing the young man that follows Jeff Bridges into the computer.
Tron 1 was in 1980?
Like 82 or something. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
So now they're going to do Tron 2.
Now they're doing the sequel. Jeff Bridges will reprise his role as Flynn, the guy who gets sucked into the computer.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh.
And following in his footsteps will be a young actor named Garrett Hedlund. Familiar with Garrett Hedlund?
No.
Sounds like he should be on Gossip Girl with that name.
Sure does. He was in Troy. He was in Friday Night Lights, the feature film, the good one. He was in Four Brothers, Aragon, Georgia Rule. And they said this movie will make him a monster, massive superstar.
Tron 2 will.
I'm sorry. Who?
So you heard Garrett Hedlund here first. Keep that in mind.
Okay.
Tron 2.
Ralph, I know that you love the sci-fi movies, but is there a pent-up demand from people to make a sequel to Tron? I mean, is that one that we've been waiting for?
There is a large cult Tron following.
No, there's not.
There is. There
Don't
is.
Be ridiculous.
There is.
I mean, I know that special effects have come a long way, obviously, in the last 20 years, so maybe that's what they're thinking is, wow, if we could make that movie today, it could be so much better, maybe.
Tron is, to the current generation of sci-fi geek, what the original King Kong was back in the day, in terms of people who have, how it changed people, how they thought about making movies. It was really, it was a big deal. Why are you knocking into me and falling over to hand me this story?
Freaking news.
This couldn't wait. This couldn't wait. You had to bust in the studio. Miss Cleo comes stumbling
Alex
in here
too.
Like
loud
a drunken
too.
Whore.
Yeah, loud.
Bust down
be
the
good,
door.
Then.
Then falls into me, kicks me in the foot as she's handing me Lisa Bonet names her new baby.
It's cold and dark in here.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it
true.
Is. Is that why you fell into me?
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of my Tron riff?
Yeah, maybe she wanted you to get off the Tron riff.
Maybe.
Maybe she sensed that going down
maybe
in flames.
Hit me with your boobs if you're going to hit me with something.
I can't believe she missed.
Yeah, I can't
Why
either.
Do we care that Lisa Bonet had a baby? I don't understand what
because
the urgency is to this story.
Because she named some honked up name.
I'm sure.
Celebrity names.
Lisa Bonet's new baby, this bulletin just in, just handed to me,
rushed into the studio.
Has been named Nakoa Wolf Manakuapo Mamakahia Momoa.
You're making that up.
That was worth the trouble to get it in here.
I went to three of those islands in Hawaii on vacation.
That was worth the trouble. Thank you, Miss Cleo.
Yes. Apparently, the name translates into Nakoa, which is warrior, Mana, which is strength and spirit, Kawa is rain, Po is dark.
Oh, my God.
She wants to name her kid after rain and dark? That's not very uplifting.
Yeah.
This is a way to say, suck it, Bronx Mowgli, isn't it?
Her boyfriend, the baby daddy, is named Jason Momoa.
Ah.
So maybe he is either of Hawaiian or Islander descent, Pacific Islander descent. But the entire name, once again, is Nakoa Wolf Manakawapo Mamakia Momoa.
Okay.
God bless.
I order that sometimes on Sunday mornings with brunch. That's very, very delicious. Hey, Ralph, you know Manny Pacquiao?
Manny Pacquiao, yes. He has a new baby, too.
The guy that beat De La Hoya?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Named his daughter?
Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yep.
What?
Not Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth.
So the first name is?
Queen.
Queen. That's great.
Are the Philippines a territory of the Empire of Great Britain? Of the UK?
I don't know.
I think they used to be.
Yeah, I don't think they are
now. Ruled by Spain.
But now they're United States territory, right? The Philippines?
I don't know, dude.
I don't think so anymore. I think we're separate nations now, but we've had some great involvement with them over the years, certainly.
Just wondering
what his motivation is.
He likes the Queen. You know?
And he fights Ricky Hatton next, who is British. Ooh. It's going to be hard for Ricky Hatton to beat up the dad of the Queen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to be rough.
Does the Queen have
Lisa Bonet's kid needs to be taken away from her.
I wonder how the Queen felt about it being named. And Manny Pacquiao was stealing her name
for
his
Queen is not here today.
What?
No, the Queen had to step out on business.
The Queen's a pussy. Today's celebrity birthdays. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 65 years old today. Singer Dave Matthews turns 42. Joey Lauren Adams is 41. Backstreet Boy AJ McLean is 31. And Hathaway. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Who gave us that song? He's 44 years old today.
Wow.
Would have been funny if I said Hathaway and he had nothing to do with that song. We just played it and then I announced he was 44. But actually, he was responsible.
Well, who would know? I mean,
who would know? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to our special guest, Andrew Siciliano, for joining us this afternoon. He, of course, from the Red Zone DirecTV channel. Information that does not help you because they are off now that the playoffs are here.
But next season, get it.
Yeah,
next season, absolutely get it. And special thanks to Nakoa Wolf Manakwapo Namakahia Momoa, too, for being born. And we enjoyed talking about you today.
And the Queen. Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Harvey Levin will be here to tell us about the celebrity news. We're going to talk to Elliot on Scrubs. Sarah Chalk will be on the program.
So, ooh, yeah.
And we're going to introduce you to the next big sport. If I have anything to say about it, it is a mix of arm wrestling and MMA. It's called X-Arm.
Oh, no.
They tape their hands together, and then they arm wrestle, but you can kick and punch each other.
That doesn't sound necessary, that sport.
It sounds awesome. Or not. I think it'd be pretty cool. Back to you.
So stick around for Nicole Alvarez coming up next with 60 Minutes nonstop music, including The Incubus. We also got that song Pony by Far, Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, and more straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.